adults on board the school bus were taken to area hospitals, about a dozen suffering only minor injuries. Police say the bus transporting campers from the Scotch Plains YMCA collided head-on with a minivan on Terrell Road. The driver of the van had to be extricated by firefighters and emergency personnel, taken to Robert Wood Johnson University Hospital in New Brunswick. Injuries said to be non-life-threatening. Parents have been notified. The crash still under investigation. Steve Sandberg in Scotch Plains, New Jersey.
Actor Arnold Schwarzenegger is expected to file papers soon to enter the race for governor of California. In October, the state will have a special election to try and oust its present governor, Gray Davis. California Democratic Party Chairman Art Torres says this recall campaign will be about qualifications.
I'm sure stories will be coming out shortly about what kind of business dealings Mr. Schwarzenegger has done. Is he really capable to be a governor of California? I don't think he is.
Two prominent Democrats have also announced their plans to enter the race. Lieutenant Governor Cruz Bustamante and Democratic Insurance Commissioner John Garamendi are the first two to break ranks with their party.
Are you a prescription plan member who uses Clarinex, Zyrtec, or Allegra for allergy relief? Then you should know that many plans are changing the coverage level on your nasal allergy medicine, which might cost you more money. Don't let nasal allergy relief cost you more this year. Just ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray 50 micrograms. Flonase is approved to relieve the nasal symptoms from pollen, dust mites, pet dander, pollution, smoke, and strong odors. More triggers than any leading allergy medicine. Comparable efficacy and safety among Flonase and these products has not been established. For best results, use Flonase daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. To learn more about Flonase, see our ad in Fitness Magazine. Visit www.flonase.com or call 1-800-FLONASE. If the copayment for your allergy medicine is costing you more money, ask your doctor if Flonase is right for you. All it takes is Flonase.
The international relief agency Feed the Children is doing what it can to help stabilize Iraq by sending food and medicine. The first of what the organization hopes will be several shipping containers full of food is being loaded and sent today. Feed the Children President Larry Jones was recently in Baghdad, and he says it's still a very dangerous place.
It's the only time I've gone into any kind of zone, whether it be a war zone, into a country that's totally politically different than America, that they would not let me deliver my own food.
Jones said Americans need to realize it was the Marshall Plan that helped after World War II, and there is no similar plan to help rebuild Iraq. He said Iraqis are angry they have no food, water, and electricity, and until they get those things, the country will remain unstable. If you want your tongue split to resemble that of a snake's, don't plan on having the procedure done in Illinois. The governor has signed a bill into law restricting the practice of tongue splitting to only doctors and dentists. Tongue splitting is when a person has the tip of their tongue split in half, resulting in a tongue that resembles that of a reptile. The law allows prosecutors to file criminal charges against non-medical personnel who perform the tongue splitting procedure on anyone. The cosmetic procedure has become a fad of people into extreme body piercing and tattoos.
And we're playing all your favorites, but right now I have a pair of free tickets to tonight's big concert for the third caller. Oh, let's go to the phone lines. They are heating up, and let's see. Hello.
Hello.
Is this Ms. Shannon Johnson?
Yes, yes it is.
Oh, you sound very excited.
I am.
Well, Ms. Johnson, I have good news.
I'm the third caller.
No, I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Northwest Airlines is being sued by its machinists union because the carrier declined to buy back stock issued to employees 10 years ago in exchange for wage cuts. In a recent message to workers, CEO Richard Anderson said Northwest wants to buy back the stock but can't.
There are legal restrictions that limit a Delaware corporation from buying back its stock or paying a dividend. And these legal restrictions apply to any stock buyback, whether the stock is held by employees, mutual funds, or large individual holders or banks.
Northwest is incorporated in Delaware, where Anderson says the law orders other financial obligations to be met before a stock buyback. Along with the ground workers, the flight attendants union says it may look at a similar suit. It was a mixed day on Wall Street. The Dow Jones Industrial Average gained 65 points to 91.26. The Nasdaq closed down less than a point to 16.25. The S&P 500 gained 7 points to 9.74. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Years ago, a small hard drive meant a traffic-y physical commute. Today, it's the curse of telecommuting. But however you get to work, I'll pave the way with some timely maintenance tips when we come back.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas. 10 years ago, I discovered the company with the best fuel injector cleaner, BG Products. Now wait, there's more. To do the job right requires cleaning both the fuel and the air induction systems. The process is called BG Complete Induction System Service. If you want your vehicle to run like new, don't settle for anything less. To find a shop near you to perform this service, go to bgfindtheshop.com. That's bgfindtheshop.com.
Whether you commute to work via old-fashioned blacktop or the Internet superhighway, automotive maintenance will give you more time for fun. Just remember, give me five. One, once a year, treat your vehicle to an annual inspection. Two, every 2 years, change brake fluid. Three, it's time for an oil service every 3,000 miles. Four, mark your calendar every 4 years for new radiator hoses. And five, rotate tires every 5,000 miles. Now, take five, away from your busy job to enjoy a cruise in your well-maintained vehicle. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
This time we're saved by the music.
Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us. Program produced, as always, by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us. Phone number here, 800-TALK-YES, 800-825-5937. Or if you'd like to email during the program, mikedmalloy@earthlink.net. Program note, Illinois Senate Democratic primary candidate Nancy Skinner and former colleague from WLS Radio will join us tomorrow night in the second hour to discuss her run for the Senate in Illinois. I don't know how I'm going to – what am I supposed to call her, Kathy? Am I supposed to say Miss Skinner? I mean, this is Nancy, right? This will be fun. All right, that's tomorrow evening. Yeah, I've seen her in a bikini. Never mind. Just a quick email here, and it kind of ties in with the first thing I want to talk about tonight. And I, you know how y'all hold back always on this program for the first half hour, 45 minutes, and say, oh, what's Malloy going to talk about? I'll tell you what we're going to talk about this first hour, and that's Al Gore's speech today. Organized and spoken in front of the MoveOn.org organized audience. So if you heard the speech or if you have a copy of it, as I do, you can get it at moveon.org/gore-speech.html. Just go to moveon.org. There it is. But that's what I want to talk about this first segment. However that speech affected you, okay? 800-825-5937. Come on. I want you all to call in and tell me what you thought of it. Now, while you are dialing an email from Ted. Dear Mike, I caught your program on the net a couple of times. Glad to hear something from the left. I think you and Jim Hightower. Is there anyone else on the left on radio now? Ted asked. I think you and Hightower do a great job punching holes in the right wingnut gas bags that pollute the radio waves. However, bet you knew this was coming, Ted writes. However, I do have a little qualm with your style. You seem to imply that all things Republican are bad and all things Democrat are good. Maybe that's an unfair statement, but that's the way it comes off on the air. As you well know, the Democrats are in bed with the same corporate lobbyists as are the Republicans, and their votes reflect it. That's why I had to vote for Nader in 2000. Having said that, I plan on voting Democrat in 2004. Unless Lieberman is the nominee, then I may have to forego voting for the first time in my adult life. Finally, if you really want to help the Democrats, then hold their feet to the fire. Taking the we good, you bad approach sounds very, well, Republican. Cheers. Ted Markow. All right, Ted, couple of comments. If you've only caught this program a couple of times, then you are not aware that I kick Democrat ass almost as hard as I kick Republican ass. First of all, I don't think the Democratic Party right now is controlled by the right group. The Democratic Leadership Conference, if you're a regular listener to this program, you know my feelings about the DLC. Secondly, your line, you seem to imply that all things Republican are bad and all things Democrat are good. Not so. Again, it's because you've only heard the program a couple of times. I do believe that all things Republican are bad. They're beyond bad. They're threatening. I've said it before. Republicans, all Republicans, office holders or people who support the Republican Party, they are supporting mass murder. They are supporting the destruction of this economy, the destruction of our constitutional guarantees. I do not like Republicans. However, I don't think all things Democrat are good. When you look at some of the Democratic members of the Democratic Party in Congress, when you look at some of the Democrats who are running for office, when you look at the record of Clinton Gore, a lot of things that Clinton Gore did for 8 years, I found fault with. I talked about it at the time. So the idea that I believe all things Republican are bad, that's correct. I do. But that all things Democrat are good, no. Okay? But as you listen to the program more, Ted, and I think you will, I hope you will, I think you'll find that to be true. All right. Al Gore, speaking of all things Democrat. I listened to the first part of the speech on CNN, and then they cut away. I guess it was broadcast on C-SPAN, but it's going to be rebroadcast tonight. As a matter of fact, right now. And then again at 11 p.m. Eastern Time. So if you didn't hear it this morning, you can tune into C-SPAN right now or at 11 o'clock tonight. One of the things he said about 2 or 3 minutes into the speech, he said, I'm convinced that one of the reasons that we didn't have a better public debate before the Iraq War started is because so many of the impressions that the majority of the country had back then turn out to have been completely wrong. Al, why didn't you just come out and say that the lies that were told to the American public by the politicians flooded into the media echo chamber of right-wing radio and television? It wasn't impressions, Al. They weren't impressions. They were lies. Okay? They were lies, Al. Don't be afraid to say it. And then he says, now, of course, everyone knows that every single one of these impressions was just dead wrong. He uses the word impressions again. Why not call it like it is? I love the speech. Great speech. I would vote for Gore. He's a great Republican. He's a great Republican. He's the kind of Republican I could vote for. But come on, Al. Call it like it is. And then he says it's not just in foreign policy. The same thing has been happening in economic policy, where we've also got another huge and threatening mess on our hands. And he says, I'm convinced that one reason we've had so many nasty surprises in our economy is that the country somehow got lots of false impressions about what we could expect from the big tax cuts that were enacted. And then he lists some. There again, see impressions. Al, they were lies. Please. What is up with the Democrat? What is up with Al Gore? Here's a guy that had the most massive political lie of the 20th century worked on him, and that was the theft of the presidency, and he can't say the word lie? Come on, Al. I talk to you not as a critic, but as somebody who wants you to know that we Democrats can handle that kind of language. They were lies, Al. They weren't impressions. Now, I could go on and on here, but what the hell. Derek is calling from Atlanta. Derek, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. Thanks. Hey, I got to call and defend Al. I'm sorry.
Well, no, I'm not saying anything. I don't think I'm saying anything that would warrant a defense.
No, I think you're right. I mean, and what I see in his speech is that word of impression is sort of a code. I think he still looks at some kind of political life, and to say lie, I think we both know he would be slaughtered for using that word.
Would he,
as much as we'd like to see him use it.
But would he be slaughtered? Why is it that Democrats think that if they stand up and tell the truth and use the language that is so pertinent to the truth, that somehow they'll be slaughtered?
Because they know that the people who control the messages are the right wing.
So you're saying that then the big echo chamber, radio and television, would they're going to smash him anyway?
Well, they're going to smash him, of course. But I think that on the whole, just listening to that speech, he came so close to outright saying lie that I think anybody that listens knows that he's politely saying they lied.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it, you know, we can go out and shout among the masses that they lied. But, you know, Gore and these others are trying to be civil politicians. Now, after defending that, I will say I would love to see Kerry and Dean and Gore and all of them do exactly what you say and come out and say he lied and he bankrupted the country and all of that. But for Al Gore, this is a speech he should have given. Mm-hmm. 2-3 years ago.
Boy, is that the truth. So you don't believe him then when he said at the very end he's not going to be a candidate. You're saying he's leaving the door wide open.
You know what I think? And this is just crazy, you know, having a drink, speculation. What do you think would happen if he continues on this path and we get to the convention and we get a couple of front runners, but none are really exciting, and they draft Gore? You think he would take it?
I do.
I do, too.
I do indeed. Hey, Derek, thanks for checking in, pal.
All right, Mike.
All right, sir. Appreciate your call. We're at 800-TALK. Yes, got a couple open lines here. And again, come on, let's not be slow starters tonight. I want to know what you thought of Gore's speech. And if you didn't hear it, then go to moveon.org and take a look at it. Oh, my God, it's our New York City bureau chief checking in, Teresa, whom we never hear from. Hi, Teresa.
Hi, how are you?
How was your trip to Ireland?
Oh, it was fine.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, a lot of sing-songs, fry-ups, and smoke.
never mind.
Sheeps and cows.
Sheeps and cows, all right.
Right,
okay.
Right. So I was there today. I saw President Gore.
Uh-huh.
He's looking fine. And, you know, I do agree with you that in some ways he was did that political tap dance because one of the biggest reactions he got, I mean, people were up and down, standing on their feet.
Uh-huh.
But the biggest one was he called on the administration to rein Ashcroft and Rummy in.
Uh-huh.
Of course, he should have said, fire them. You know.
Yeah, what did he say? He says, in speaking of the Patriot Act, the president ought to rein in Ashcroft and stop the gross abuses of civil rights that have been documented by his own inspector general. And while he's at it, he needs to rein in Donald Rumsfeld.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
we were screaming. I don't know if you could tell it on the...
I just saw the first 4 or 5 minutes on CNN, and then mm-hmm. CNN had to cut away and go to something important like the Kobe Bryant trial. So, or the preliminary hearing or whatever the hell it is, speculation from his teammates, whether or not, blah, blah. So, no, I have not. I've got the speech. I printed it off from MoveOn.org, but no, I don't. I didn't hear it.
I agree with what the guy said earlier that you just had on. He talked a lot about false impressions, but it was understood that he was calling them liars.
Yeah.
But why can't they just say it? And on that point, I have to say, right before I called you, I'm not a Dean person, but I thought I would listen to him on C-SPAN tonight
uh-huh.
while I'm working. And you talked about why can't they just come out and say things no matter what consequences.
Right.
Well, I can't believe that he did this, but a woman stood up. He was out in Iowa, and she asked him about the same-sex civil unions in Vermont.
In Vermont.
And she kept talking and how it was the family was going to fall apart and blah, 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 you know, that whole spiel. She's
right.
a Democrat.
Right.
And he didn't back down. And he had me in tears because I'm very passionate about this subject.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that he believes that everybody should have the same chance and the same benefits
mm-hmm.
that he does.
Mm-hmm.
And he told us,
Hey, do you want to hold on?
Sure, go ahead.
All right, let me put you on hold because
okay.
we got a break here. I'll come back to you. If you're not on hold, we have two open lines here, 800-TALK-YES. What we're looking for is your impression of Gore's speech today, and we're going to do this the first segment. So come on, don't hold back. Jump in right now, and if you didn't hear the speech, then go to moveon.org. You'll find it there. Read it and give me a call. Quick break. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
I love my ignorance.
I am driven to overcome. I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Show.
According to Abbas, immediately after Bush promised to speak with Sharon about the siege on Arafat, Bush said, quote, God told me to strike at Al-Qaeda, and I struck them. And then God instructed me to strike at Saddam, which I did. When God specifically whispers in someone's ear, I want you to go kill those people, and they go ahead and kill somebody, what do we do with those folks? We arrest them. They are jailed. In some instances, executed. We immediately identify them as crazy. You know, Ashcroft is going to say,
wait a second, George. God has been talking to me. God told me. Not you. God told me. These people are crazy.
They're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
They're coming to take me away.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune in to tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying greens.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Talk radio right from the left. It's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. We're at 800 Talk Yes. We're talking with our New York bureau chief, Teresa, who was at the Gore speech today, sponsored by MoveOn.org. Now, where were we?
Well, we were talking about Dean, but I think I'll get off that subject. We're talking about President Gore's speech right now, so we'll talk about that.
Okay, we'll talk about Dean some other time.
I have to say, though, the beginning of it was pretty funny. I'm sitting there, you know, waiting for him to come on, and there were 12 huge American flags with shiny gold eagles on the top. And then he was the president of the Young Democrats at NYU, comes out to introduce him, and I thought he was a young Republican. I wasn't really sure where I was at.
What, he had on a coat and tie?
He had on the blue suit red tie and the white shirt.
Oh, my God.
And he was just very squeaky clean.
You just don't expect that from Democrats, do you?
You don't.
No, you really don't.
So I just want to say, I think that there were the important things that I heard him say. Well, finally, this is the thing. He didn't really, but he aligned himself with Clinton, finally, and mm-hmm. stood up for him. I think towards the end he says, talking about integrity, that mm-hmm. Bush was going to bring it back to the White House. And he said, we all know what he meant by that. And he basically stands up. You've got it in front of you. And says that those were great years.
Too damn bad he didn't use the big dog when the Republicans were figuring out how to assassinate him. And steal the presidency. Too damn bad. That's the one thing. Mm-hmm. Again, you know my position. These are great Republicans, Al Gore, and they're the kind of Republicans I can do business with. Come on, please.
Right.
Al Gore and Bill Clinton.
He also. I thought it was very important that he called for them to quit blocking the investigations into 9/11.
Yeah.
And he basically comes out and says, why doesn't the president tell us what he did mm-hmm. 2 years ago in August when he was told that this was going to happen?
Now, that's Democrat.
Yeah.
That's a Democrat. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's good to see the Democrat in Al Gore starting to emerge. You know what I'm
right.
saying?
Right.
And I think maybe what happened to Al Gore in the 2000 election and whatever he's been doing for the past 2.5 years, I think the Democrat in Al Gore just might be starting to emerge.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Teresa, thanks.
Just one more thing.
Oh, one more thing. Go ahead.
I watched ABC News tonight because mm-hmm. they were there.
Right.
They gave it like 3 seconds, his speech, mm-hmm. and he said, they said that he mentioned the economy, he criticized Bush on the economy, and then they ended it by saying, but he says that he supported his ousting of Saddam Hussein. That which was not the point of the speech at all.
No, it
incredible.
Wasn't. But does anybody, you, me, anybody who's listening to this program, believe for a second that any media other than C-SPAN will treat Al Gore's speech either dispassionately, like C-SPAN would, or honestly? And the answer is hell no.
Absolutely. Well, it's good to talk to you.
Hey, good to talk to you, Teresa.
Take care.
You too. You too. Bidia. Aaron is calling from Indianapolis. Aaron, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. Hey, I'm just calling to say that I seen that speech of Bell's today, and I was yelling at the TV the whole time, get him out.
You were yelling what?
I was yelling for him to get him.
Oh, go yeah. get the Bush crime family.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
I was really happy with the speech. I thought he did a damn good job. And,
yeah.
I wish more Democrats were out there was saying what he was saying,
mm-hmm.
and I think he opened up a lot of talking points that we'd go after Bush with.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, I'm going to have to put you on hold for a second, but I want you to think about a question. You can tell me when we come back. Do you think he's going to run again and try to get reelected since he was elected the first time? And think about it for a second, Aaron. I'm going to put you on hold and come back right after this break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Into slavery if it was worth a dime. You bulldoze your own backyard, then you come for mine. You're a nation of sheep led by a handful of pigs.
I think American people, now that they've realized I'm going to seek re-election, expect me to seek re-election.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen, we're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You're kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man.
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
A 7-week strike at Hyundai Motors of South Korea is at an end, and workers are declaring victory. The strike pitted nearly 40,000 Hyundai employees against a carmaker whose inventory shortages forced it to halt production at factories in 5 countries. Hyundai estimates it lost $1.2 billion in lost output due to the strike. With their victory, workers will enjoy a wage increase that's nearly 3 times the rate of inflation, and beginning on September 1st, Hyundai employees will only have to work 5 days a week. Nam-Yol Jo is Deputy Director of Policy for the Korean Confederation of Trade Unions, or KCTU.
We are a member of OECD, and the average is 1,800 hours a week in labor work. But in Korea, we work more than 2,400 hours, so we don't have enough time to enjoy our lives. And there are a lot of accidents that happen because we work a lot. To solve this problem, we are suggesting 5 days work a week.
The workers also want protection against layoffs and a much greater role in the management of Hyundai. Union members are expected to ratify the deal tomorrow.
The Supreme Court of India strikes a surprising blow against the country's unions. In a ruling yesterday, the court declared that Indian workers may have the right to bargain collectively, but they do not have the right to strike, especially if it harms or inconveniences the populace as a whole. The decision is part of a docket of cases relating to the mass firing of 176,000 government workers in the state of Tamil Nadu last month after a million of them went on strike. Earlier, the Supreme Court upheld the mass firing but suggested the government reinstate all but a couple thousand workers. So far, all but 6,000 are back on the job.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES. Left out by right-wing talk radio? You found a home with Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. 800-TALK-YES is the number. Back to Aaron in Indianapolis, who's been holding on. Thanks for holding on, Aaron.
Hey, no problem. Hey, I'm a Dean supporter, but I don't think Al's going to run. But, you know, what I liked about what he said was that he was going to hold off on his endorsement. You know, he said he didn't jump out there on Lieberman.
That was pretty telling. I think Gore, somebody emailed me the other night or phoned the program and said the only reason Gore had Lieberman was, oh damn, now I've forgotten. But it certainly made sense.
But for Florida.
No, it was inoculation against something, and I'm drawing a complete blank.
Clinton went to the laborers too, and you know, the AFL-CIO didn't endorse him by the other night either.
That's right.
And I think they're holding off. They're saying, you know, maybe they're holding off to see what the party's going to do.
Yeah,
I hope.
I think you're right. Hey, listen, thanks, Aaron. I appreciate you checking in,
yeah.
Pal. All right, you take care. Where are we? Gary is calling from California, probably from Santa Monica, right?
Hey.
How you doing, Gary?
Venice, California.
Venice. All right. Well, that's close enough.
Venice, yeah, Santa Monica, same thing.
I should be honest here and tell the audience that you're an old friend, former mayor of Gainesville, Florida, and a complete activist, environmentalist and political activist who now lives on the West Coast. and is checking in. Good to hear from you, Gary.
It's good to talk with you and hear the show as usual. I was gonna call about Arnold because that's the big news out here, but I also wanted to weigh in on this this Gore speech that you're talking about.
Sure, go ahead.
We've talked about this before. I'm just mystified that people find any substance to the man to begin with. But if you look at the speech, what troubles me is that he uses language like "what troubles me." And that is that this is therapy language.
Yeah.
The direction in which our nation is being led is deeply troubling to me. Not only blah blah. Blah.
Right.
Millions of Americans now share a feeling. This is typical leadership from behind. Leadership is an afterthought from Gore and most of the Democrats. It's kind of what got Gray Davis in trouble out here,
mm-hmm.
which is that they sit back, the situation deteriorates, they analyze it, they step forward as if they're a therapist. And say, okay, what I think I'm hearing now is that people are troubled.
Right, right.
Where was his really strong opposition to, where was his really strong opposition to Bush? Let's mm-hmm. start there.
Yeah, if you and I, or you and anybody, or I and anybody, or anybody else and anybody, can certainly pick apart the game plan of Al Gore for the past 3.5-4 years, going back to the campaign, and where has he been during all this insanity that the Bush crime family has put us all through? I find the man fascinating, Al Gore.
Yep.
I think he's very complex. I think you're right. He does use therapy language. But what the hell? This is America 2003. What other language? Here's another therapy word. What other language resonates as well with the American public as therapy language? We all understand it. And I don't care what income bracket we're in and whether or not we've been therapeutized. We all understand that language.
I guess I'm yearning for the days of the John Kennedy declarative statement language.
Oh, sure.
And I really believe that the Republicans, because they do speak in declarative sentences, and this may sound like an oversimplification to some people, because they do speak in declarative sentences very often, they end up with the upper hand because it sounds like they have action in mind.
Yes, yes.
Very specific action.
You're absolutely right. Even a simple-minded fool like George Bush,
yep.
who cannot handle a compound sentence, mm-hmm. who cannot handle a sentence with two or three components to it, whether they're parts of sentences or ideas, even he, when he makes his half-witted statements, they do. You're absolutely right. They do sound like declarative statements, declarative sentences, and people buy into that. You know, this is America. America, I think, has always wanted either a Führer or a king. You don't have to go very deep in the soil of this country to find fascism. We've talked about this many times.
Well, yeah, but I think people do want to have some leadership.
Well, yeah.
And I don't know if it's just that polar situation of Führer or King, but it's not just the language. I'm reading Gore's speech here. I've got it on the screen. The way we went into Iraq illustrates the larger problem. Normally, we Americans lay the facts on the table,
right.
Talk through the choices before us, and make a decision. Where the hell was this guy when Vietnam was unfolding? Because that certainly wasn't the case in that.
Well, but Gary.
Normally, we don't do that. He sets up the same false premise.
Okay, but
Bush was setting up.
But Gary, in all fairness, Al Gore was what, 22 during Vietnam? He was your age, my age.
Except that you and I know that, certainly by now we know that the nation was misled through a series of false premises and lies, and
right.
The facts were never
right.
laid out.
Right, now we know it.
And to say, neither of us would ever say, I hope, we would never start a sentence with what's wrong with the lies that are going on now with usually this doesn't happen.
Yeah.
I mean, let's bring our Native American friends into the conversation. Usually lies don't happen.
Well, we can go to all those examples. We can go to the Spanish-American War. We can go to World
yeah.
War II, the
yeah.
Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor, the,
yeah.
the Gulf of Tonkin incident, the students in Grenada. The need to stop Noriega from drug
right.
dealing, all of that.
Right.
So, yeah, the lies have always been there. And I think Gore made that point when he said something to the point. Here he says, Robust debate in a democracy will almost always involve occasional rhetorical excesses and leaps of faith, and we're all used to that. I've even been guilty of it myself on occasion. But then he goes on to say, but there is a big difference between that and a systematic effort to manipulate facts in service to a totalistic ideology that is felt to be more important than the mandates of basic honesty. What he's saying there, when you wade through all the rhetorical excess, what he's saying, it's better to tell the truth than to lie.
Okay.
That's all he's saying.
Okay, and I think that, if I were looking for a father... a teacher, of course, it's better to tell the truth than lie. You know, I think Arnold's going to run on something like that out here.
Right.
I was going to talk about the Arnold thing because it's just we're a bellwether state.
Yeah.
Meaning, this may look crazy now, but it's coming to your state in the future.
Yeah. Arnold Schwarzenegger, though. I mean, dear God, that's all. Ever since his press conference last night, prior to going on Jay Leno's program.
Leno.
I mean, what's up with television? Of course, I expect this from the cable news networks.
Well, you've got the local news is now interviewing folks from Access Hollywood. This is just 15 minutes ago.
By local news, you mean out there on the left coast.
Out here is having Access Hollywood people, you know, as part of their reporting staff.
Yeah.
And of course, part of the problem out here is that Davis, like so many, in my opinion, of these other Democrats, and I know you use this phrase it was either you or the Washington Monthly. I heard it on one of the ads during the break about timid Democrats.
Right.
Davis is a timid Democrat, and he let himself get whipsawed by the Enron scandal, and suddenly the whole energy crisis came down looking like it was his fault.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not articulate. He's not a fighter, and he's not all that good either. Better than Arnold would be. But he's now he's basically the other side has the upper hand. They've got this recall going, and now we've got Arnold or Ariana possibly.
Yeah. Hey, listen. I hope you'll keep us informed of what's going on. I've got to move on, Gary.
Sure.
But keep us informed of what's going on out there, if you would. Be less of a stranger. Call the program once more.
Will do.
Thanks, Gary.
Good talking with you.
All right, sir. Appreciate you checking in. Anna is calling from Kenosha, Wisconsin. Hey, Anna, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
How you doing?
I thought Gary's point about declarative statements was really apt, but I also think Gore's speech was brilliant, and I also think it was very subversive. Look where the venue was.
Right, yeah.
It was from MoveOn.org.
Right.
Okay? And he was talking to those people. And I think the word that you were complaining about when he kept saying impressions was almost satire.
Well, in fairness to Gore, I kind of got that impression too. But I immediately had the question in my own head. Is Gore, and I mean no disrespect, is Gore capable of that kind of subtlety?
Oh, I think that's his problem.
He's too subtle?
Yes.
Or is he just kind of, I always thought Al Gore was kind of awkward, not subtle, but just kind of awkward. If he has developed a sense of subtlety and can use it in language and speeches right now, oh man, that's wonderful. I celebrate that. Now, let me ask you something.
Okay.
What do you think is going to happen vis-a-vis Al Gore and the Democratic nomination for the presidency? Do you think he's going to consider it? Do you think there's going to be a draft Gore movement? Do you think his speech today was setting the stage for that? What? Or none of the above?
None of the above, Mike. I think whatever happens, we're up the creek with no paddles.
There's no way out.
I don't think there's any way out.
Not with Al Gore, Dennis Kucinich, Governor Dean, nobody, huh?
Or even Al Sharpton.
Or Al Sharpton.
Yeah. No, but...
Oh, jeez.
No, I don't think there's any way out, but I thought that speech was just riveting and brilliant and subtle and satirical.
Well, I'm... no way out?
I don't think so. But I would like to say one other thing. those flags did have gold fringe all the way around them.
Yeah.
Yeah, which was another thing that I really did chuckle about.
Yeah. He's trying to out-Republican the Republicans, right?
Yeah.
Well, good for him. Good for him. Hey, thanks, Anna.
Okay.
All right, take care. Appreciate you checking in. Where are we? John is calling from Long Beach, California. Hey, John.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Doing fine, sir.
Before I tell you what I think about the speech, I'd like to tell you what I think about Al Gore.
Okay.
Hey, to me, this is my own personal opinion. He epitomizes or symbolizes whatever word you want to use of what's wrong with the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
I just do not like the guy, never liked the guy. Don't trust him. I think he belongs to that good old boys club. And he's light Republican.
Well, I don't completely disagree with that. You know my position. I've said that the Clinton-Gore administration is the best Republican administration we ever had.
Exactly.
But, he may have an inner Democrat that's trying desperately to get out. Huh?
I think he's trying to suppress him as best as he can.
You think?
The other thing is, now, I did not listen to all the speech. I have trouble staying awake when I try to do that.
Uh-huh.
But I did hear the part where he praised Bush for getting rid of Bin Laden and getting the Taliban out of Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to tell him the Taliban is not gone.
No. Did he say that? I didn't. See, I haven't read the whole speech yet.
He just said he got rid of the Taliban to the worst effect.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he meant he just got rid of the ruling party. I don't know. But the point is they're still in that country, still causing problems, and we still don't have a Saddam. Now, I would not give Bush credit for anything.
Right.
The fact that of course, he didn't agree with the way Bush went about it.
Mm-hmm.
A big deal. You know, what he should have said, look, Saddam may have been a dictator, but he was their dictator, not ours.
Yeah.
And we supported other dictators. And he was not a threat to us. So he didn't do any of that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the guy's just trying to toady up. I just don't.
Well, all right, let me ask you the same question I've asked a couple of people. Do you think the Gore, that this was a stage-setting device today, that this is Gore getting ready to try to reemerge on the national political scene with the idea of allowing himself to be drafted by the Democratic Party, or do you think he's just out there giving a speech?
Well, it could be one of two things. He either could be putting his little tootsies in the water to see how warm the water is.
Yeah.
Or he could be saying, well, guys, you know, I told you I don't want to run. But now, if you really insist, if you come to me and really bag me real, real hard.
Mm-hmm. Well, all right. I know from having conversations with you, John, I know what your feeling is about this. And I, you know, my thing, I guess, hearing somebody who is so closely linked in my mind to the last presidential election as.
Fiasco.
Say again?
The last presidential fiasco.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And thinking that it could have been, should have been, a Gore presidency, and wondering what a Gore presidency would have been like, and being utterly convinced it would not have been like a Bush presidency. When I listen to Al Gore, the Democrat in me kind of links up with the Democrat in him, and I know he's got one. I know he does, okay? He may be a corporatist. He may be, Ralph Nader may be right. Now, dimes are the difference. Both parties are just whores for corporate America. But he's got an inner Democrat, and so do I. And that's what that's kind of what links up. And I'll be very curious to see what happens.
Let me ask you this, if I may.
Okay, quickly.
Why did the whole thing come down to the state of Florida?
Why?
What I'm saying is if Gore had been the candidate, he should have been.
Well, I know, right.
Florida would never have been an issue.
Yeah, he should have won his home state. He should have won West Virginia. I understand. I understand that argument. I understand that argument. But who knows what happened in those states? Who knows what kind of devilment the Republican Party got into, not just in Florida, but here in Georgia, in Tennessee, wherever. Hey, there's the music. Thanks, John. Take care. Good to hear from you.
Okay, you too.
Bye. All right, sir. Quick break. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. It's not a hard thing.
Shame on you. Hey, fool me, we can't get fooled again.
All right, folks, while we have a minute, let's go up to the chopper with Brad Powell, get a traffic update. Brad, what do you see up there?
Well, thanks a lot, Scott. Nothing you're going to want to hear about, unfortunately. You can expect major delays on the interstate. An overturned tractor trailer's got traffic backed up for about 25 miles. It's a real bad situation, Scott, but I do have good news.
What's that, Brad?
I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See how much you could save. Visit GEICO.com. GEICO, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
Wouldn't it be great if you could get everything you need for successful estate planning in one package? Well, now you can. The new Master Estate Kit offers a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free Family Legal Guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, "At a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore"? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, "To people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Hello, this is Andy Dave Rush inviting you to join the fun on Home Improvement USA. Great guests and experts offer home improvement advice and keep us updated on new products and technologies. On Home Improvement USA, we give away terrific prizes to all our callers. Join me, Handy Dave, along with Ken Walchek on location at Clark Devon Hardware in Chicago and engineer and handyman Jay Brentlinger for Home Improvement USA. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 Pacific on Saturday. Don't miss it. Home Improvement USA.
We broadcast it on Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific on IE America Radio Network.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
What do you think I like about communing with nature as much as I do, being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer? You're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, Don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
Hey, conservatives, here comes your worst nightmare. It's Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour, 800-TALK-YES is where we are. Diane is calling from Boise, Idaho. Diane, this is your first time calling the program, right?
Yes.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you. Is this Mike?
This is Mike.
Oh, my word, I got you.
Well, who did you want?
Well, the reason I called is, for one thing, I'm a progressive.
Uh-huh.
I'm a Democrat. All I care about is getting rid of George Bush.
I hear that.
Which I think we need to as a country.
Yes.
And I think anybody who helps us get rid of George Bush, we shouldn't diss.
Right.
And I really appreciated Al Gore with his speech. And I wish people would, you know, let's understand that we're here to get rid of George Bush. Do you know what I'm saying?
Sure. I absolutely do. At some point, you see, we're still in the shaking out process with all these candidates and non-candidates. And at some point, you're right. For those of us, and we are legion, who believe that George Bush represents, and his cabal represents, the biggest threat to this country since the British prior to the Revolutionary War. At some point, we are going to have to unite behind a Democratic candidate, unless that Democratic candidate is so distasteful to real Democrats,
like Lieberman,
that we can't do it. Right. There are
right.
some people I right. cannot get behind.
I agree with you.
Right.
But you know what? Al Gore is on our side.
I think
and,
so. Yeah. I think
what he said was what needed to be said. He's an elder statesman. He's beyond the pale now. He's not talking as a candidate. He's talking as an American and a Democrat and a progressive. And I was happy for what he said, and I just don't want people dissing him.
Yeah, well,
I
can appreciate that. As far as talking like an American and a Democrat, but not a candidate, sadly, it's gotten to the point, hasn't it? And I think you'll agree, Diane, that a candidate, very few of them, can get out there and be an American and talk from the heart and still be a candidate, right?
I agree.
They have to use that the covert language, the coded phrases, saying up when they mean down. It's good to see a Kucinich, a Dean, and today a Gore actually talking like an American and still either a candidate or a possible candidate. Hey, Diane, there's the music. I'm glad you found the program. I hope you're going to call again.
Oh, I listen to you every night.
Thank you, ma'am.
Okay, thank you very much.
You take care. All right, quick break. We'll be back. We're going to move on. Just like moveon.org, we're going to move on with the topics. So, unless you really want to make a comment on the Gore thing today, we'll still take it. 800-TALK-YES is the number. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003. Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Mike Malloy is rational and whatever.
You want me fired too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
Why
me?
I put something on that says he's a great goof liberal.
Goof?
You know, I just can't believe it.
Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. Jordan has condemned the bomb attack on its embassy in Baghdad, which has claimed at least 12 lives, as a cowardly act of terror. Correspondent Jomana Karadze, reporting from Amman, says the Jordanian government has rejected the idea that the attack might be linked to the fact that Jordan has given asylum to two of Saddam Hussein's daughters.
The Jordanian government refused to link it in any way to the daughter's stay in the country, and said that it is an isolated incident and will not affect the kingdom's stability nor its stand in helping the people of Iraq.
Karadze says the government had no prior knowledge it might be a target of attack, and Jordanians are deeply shocked by the incident. After weeks of saying there would not be a replacement candidate in the upcoming California recall election, two major Democrats broke rank today and announced they will run after all. Don Andrews reports from Sacramento.
Lieutenant Governor Cruz Bustamante says recent polling suggests Governor Gray Davis may not be able to defeat the recall after all, and so he's offering himself as a Democratic alternative to the voters. Insurance Commissioner John Garamendi says for similar reasons, he's also filing the papers needed to have his name on the ballot. Bustamante and Garamendi said this morning that they decided to enter the race because U.S. Senator Dianne Feinstein announced yesterday she will not be a candidate. Governor Gray Davis and many other Democratic leaders have repeatedly said they don't want other Democrats on the ballot, saying Davis's best chance to beat the recall was only if there were no other major Democrats on the ballot. Don Andrews, Sacramento.
Are you a prescription plan member who uses Clarinex, Zyrtec, or Allegra for allergy relief? Then you should know that many plans are changing the coverage level on your nasal allergy medicine, which might cost you more money. Don't let nasal allergy relief cost you more this year. Just ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray 50 micrograms. Flonase is approved to relieve the nasal symptoms from pollen, dust mites, pet dander, pollution, smoke, and strong odors. More triggers than any leading allergy medicine. Comparable efficacy and safety among Flonase and these products has not been established. For best results, use Flonase daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. To learn more about Flonase, see our ad in Fitness Magazine. Visit www.flonase.com or call 1-800-FLONASE. If the copayment for your allergy medicine is costing you more money, ask your doctor if Flonase is right for you. All it takes is Flonase.
Unionized department workers have reached a tentative agreement with the company that manages Co-op City in the Bronx. Bronx Borough President Adolfo Carrion says the agreement is a step towards resolving ongoing problems at Co-op City.
Co-op City is not only facing this labor dispute, but we're also facing a larger problem that has to do with the finances of this development and the future of this community of 65,000 Bronxites. Everybody understood that they were operating within that context.
Members of Local 32BJ and the River Bay Corporation agreed to a new four-year contract that provides raises in each year and improved benefits. Carrion says the deal is a huge victory to Co-op City residents and workers. He applauded both the union and Co-op City management for showing their, quote, commitment to public well-being and agreeing that a strike would have been disastrous to Co-op City and the Bronx.
All right, folks, while we have a minute, let's go up to the chopper with Brad Paul, get a traffic update. Brad, what do you see up there?
Well, thanks a lot, Scott. Nothing you're going to want to hear about, unfortunately. You can expect major delays on the interstate. An overturned tractor trailer has got traffic backed up for about 25 miles. It's a real bad situation, Scott, but I do have good news.
What's that, Brad?
I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See how much you could save. Visit geico.com. Geico, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
After they demanded to speak with city officials concerning the layoff of city employees, Pittsburgh Council President Gene Ricciardi met with a group of EMTs this morning. Ryan Astor reports.
During this morning's meeting, EMTs were given the opportunity to voice their opinions, and Ricciardi proposed several ideas to help save 37 EMT jobs. Paramedic Union President Jeff Fischi says council's support is encouraging, but more must be done.
People will die as a result of this program being cut, and we will not tolerate that. We don't expect one citizen to tolerate that.
Ricciardi Moriarty says he will be meeting with several officials, including Mayor Murphy, in order to find alternative funding for the EMTs. Council also says it will revisit a study on paramedic response times to see how the layoffs would affect public safety. I'm Ryan Astor reporting.
It was a mixed day on Wall Street. The Dow Jones Industrial Average gained 65 points to 91.26. The NASDAQ closed down less than a point to 16.25. The S&P 500 gained 7 points to 9.74. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. What could the Lost in Space robot and Star Wars R2-D2 have in common with a phenomenon called dieseling? Will Robinson and Luke Skywalker know, and when I come back, I'll tell you.
Asphalt, rubber, metal, speed. This is racing for Tony Stewart, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Matt Kenseth, and John Andretti. There's one more key to racing, Champion Spark Plugs. They race different makes of cars, Chevy, Pontiac, Dodge, Ford. But they all trust Champion because they all have the same destination, the winner's circle. Champion powers all.
Be sure to ask your service technician or auto parts retailer for Champion Spark Plugs.
Just like Will and Luke had some far-fetched friends to warn them of impending danger, your car has ways to warn you of the impending danger of neglected maintenance. One tune-up red flag is dieseling. Known as after-run, dieseling occurs when an engine chugs on after the ignition is turned off. Causes? Inferior gas, excessive idle speed, and carbon in the combustion chamber. Dieseling is just one warning that, if neglected, may leave you lost in space. The space alongside the road. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us. Brought to you by Champion, the world's favorite spark plug.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. 800-TALK-YES is the number. Let's take one more phone call on the Al Gore speech today. ML is calling from Santa Fe. ML, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
Hey.
It's nice to talk to you. I think you have to actually watch Al Gore's speech to see the inflections and the flags behind him. And it's just a great performance. You can't just read it. You have to actually see it. It's a spectacle.
Well, it's
and it's great.
Yeah, it's at C-SPAN.org, someone just emailed me. So
it's on right now. I'm watching it on C-SPAN.
Yeah, I know. But I can't watch it right now.
Right.
I am going to watch it this evening. Later on when the program's over, I'll just go home and watch it on the computer. Is that it?
I had other stuff to say, but I forgot. Well, thank you, Mike.
All right. Appreciate you checking in. Email from Diana in Florida. Mike, it only just dawned on me why we can never expect Al Gore to be the kind of outspoken critic of Bush and his administration that you and I and others like us want him to be. Because Gore acquiesced to the Bush coup in 2000. And because of that, he has to maintain the fiction that Bush's administration is a legitimate government because Gore is otherwise partly to blame for it. To blame because he didn't continue the fight in the courts or in the streets. It was a failure of leadership on his part then, and for him to paint the Bush regime for what it is now is to highlight his own impotence then. Gore reminds me of the old Shelley Berman joke about the airplane passenger who sees the engines on fire, but doesn't say anything because he'd rather die than make an ass of himself. Gore hasn't got the cojones to upset anyone. I voted for Gore in 2000. I'd vote for him in the general election again, but he isn't the courageous leader we need in these times. Okay. All right. I don't know. I've got this thing I want to share with you, the accomplishments of George Bush so far. But I don't want to bore you. I don't want to bore you. Let me give you some of them. Here's this is George in his own words. My accomplishments as president, by George W. Bush. I attacked and took over two countries. I spent the U.S. surplus and bankrupted the Treasury. I shattered the record for biggest annual deficit in history. I set an economic record for the most private bankruptcies filed in any 12-month period. I set an all-time record for the biggest drop in the history of the stock market. I am the first president in decades to execute a federal prisoner. I am the first president in U.S. history to enter office with a criminal record. In my first year in office, I set the all-time record for the most days on vacation by any president in U.S. history. After taking the entire month of August off for vacation in 2001, I presided over the worst security failure in U.S. history. I set the record for most campaign fundraising trips by any president in U.S. history. In my first 2 years in office, over 2 million Americans lost their jobs. I cut unemployment benefits for more out-of-work Americans than any other president in U.S. history. I set the all-time record for the most foreclosures in a 12-month period. I appointed more convicted criminals to administration positions than any president in U.S. history. I set the record for the fewest press conferences of any president since the advent of television. I signed more laws and executive orders amending the Constitution than any other president in U.S. history. I presided over the biggest energy crisis in U.S. history and refused to intervene when corruption was revealed. I presided over the highest gasoline prices in U.S. history and refused to use the national reserves as past presidents have. I cut health care benefits for war veterans. I set the all-time record for the most people worldwide to simultaneously take to the streets to protest me. 15 million, shattering the record for protest against any person in the history of mankind. I dissolved more international treaties than any president in U.S. history. I've made my presidency the most selective, the most secretive, and unaccountable of any in U.S. history. Members of my cabinet are the richest of any administration in U.S. history. I am the first president in U.S. history to have all 50 states of the Union simultaneously approach bankruptcy. I presided over the biggest corporate stock market fraud in any market in any country in the history of the world. I am the first president in U.S. history to order a preemptive U.S. attack and military occupation of a sovereign nation, and I did so against the will of the United Nations and the world community. I have created the largest government department bureaucracy in the history of the United States. I set the all-time record for the biggest annual budget spending increases more than any other president in U.S. history. I am the first president in U.S. history to have the United Nations remove the United States from the Human Rights Commission. I am the first president in U.S. history to have the United Nations remove the United States from the Elections Monitoring Board. I removed more checks and balances and have the least amount of congressional oversight of any presidential administration in U.S. history. I rendered the entire United Nations irrelevant. I withdrew from the world court. I refused to allow inspectors access to U.S. prisoners of war and by default no longer abide by the Geneva Conventions. I am the first president in U.S. history to refuse United Nations election inspectors access during the 2002 U.S. elections. I am the all-time U.S. and world record holder for the most corporate campaign donations. The biggest lifetime contributor to my campaign, who was also one of my best friends, presided over one of the largest corporate bankruptcy frauds in world history, Kenny Boy Lay. I spent more money on polls and focus groups than any president in U.S. history. I am the first president to run and hide when the United States came under attack. I am the first U.S. president to establish a secret shadow government. I took the world's sympathy for the U.S. after 9/11 and in less than a year made the United States the most resented country in the world, which is possibly the biggest diplomatic failure in U.S. and world history. I'm the first U.S. president in history to have a majority of the people of Europe view my presidency as the biggest threat to world peace and stability. I am the first U.S. president in history to have the people of South Korea more threatened by the United States than by North Korea. I change U.S. policy to allow convicted criminals to be awarded government contracts. I set the all-time record for number of administration appointees who violated the U.S. law by not selling their huge investments in corporations bidding for government contracts. I have removed more freedoms and civil liberties for Americans than any other president in U.S. history. In a little over 2 years, I have created the most divided country in decades, possibly the most divided that the United States has been since the Civil War. I entered office with the strongest economy in U.S. history and in less than 2 years turned every single economic category straight down. I have at least one conviction for drunk driving in Maine. My Texas drug conviction has been erased and is not available. I was AWOL from the National Guard and deserted the military during a time of war. I refused to take a drug test or even answer any questions about drug use. All records of my tenure as governor of Texas have been spirited away to my father's library, sealed in secrecy and unavailable for public view. All records of any SEC investigations into my insider trading or bankrupt companies are sealed in secrecy and unavailable for public view. All minutes of any meetings of any public corporation for which I served on the board are sealed in secrecy and unavailable for public view. Any records or minutes from meetings I or my vice president attended regarding public energy policy are sealed in secrecy and unavailable for public review. I am George W. Bush. Wow. And 58%, 55% of Americans still support this guy? Bombing in Baghdad today. A powerful car bomb exploded outside the Jordanian embassy. Huh? At least 11 people killed, women, children. More than 50 people wounded in the blast. Isn't it our responsibility, our obligation, since we are the occupying army, to prevent this sort of thing? Two U.S. soldiers killed in Baghdad, shot dead in a gun battle in Baghdad. The incident involving the 1st Armored Division took place on Wednesday, yesterday. The latest attack brings to 55 the number of U.S. soldiers killed by hostile fire since the war in Iraq was declared over by President Stupid on May 1st. But in a separate operation, U.S. forces say they have captured a suspected leader of Saddam Hussein's militia and two army generals in the former president's hometown of Tikrit. Oh, goody. Nearly 400 U.S. troops used Apache attack helicopters, tanks, and armored vehicles to seal off Tikrit before charging into a local hotel and detaining the men. Another 40 men, many of whom were laborers, were temporarily held and later released after a stark warning from U.S. Army Colonel Russell. The colonel said, "If you fight against your government, we will hunt you down and kill you." As reported by the Associated Press. In an interview in the New York Times, General Ricardo Sanchez, who is the commander of U.S.-led forces in Iraq, said that the iron-fisted approach that the U.S. military has been using was alienating the Iraqi public. General Sanchez said that the scale of raids in Iraq would now be reduced because they damaged Iraqis' dignity and self-respect and prompted some to acts of revenge. The general said, quote, "When you take a father in front of his family and put a bag over his head and slam him to the ground, you've had a significant adverse effect on his dignity and respect in the eyes of his family."
Now, everything you need for successful estate planning comes in one package. The new Master Estate Kit is a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you'll get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims, court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free family legal guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Remember how we were told that globalization would be a boon for American workers? Blue collar was going to become white collar, low wage would move up to high tech, and everyone would sing zippity-doo-dah all the day long. They were feeding us globaloney. Dell, Microsoft, IBM, Oracle, Intel, CSC, and the other greed-headed giants of high tech are swiftly moving these very jobs, supposedly the jobs of our middle-class future, out of our country, to India, Pakistan, Russia, and elsewhere, making a killing by what they coldly refer to as offshore outsourcing. Instead of paying $60,000 to an American programmer, they can pay only $5,000 in India, then ship the product back into the lucrative U.S. market without paying tariffs and without lowering the consumer price. Mary Lawrence is one of the hundreds of thousands of American high-tech workers who've been stiffed. She worked at AMD, where she had won awards for setting production records and helping devise ways for the company to save money. AMD repaid her by sending her job offshore. A year and a half later, she's still out of work, even after applying to more than 500 other firms. My job has gone away, she says. There are just no jobs to be had. To add insult to injury, many high-tech American workers are forced to train their foreign replacements, refuse, and they lose any severance pay. Even some Republican leaders are gagging on this globaloney. Representative Don Manzullo of Illinois says the assumption was that while lower-skilled jobs would be done elsewhere, it would allow Americans to focus on higher-skilled, higher-paying opportunities. But what do you tell the PhD or professional engineer or architect or accountant or computer scientist to do next? Where do you tell them to go? This is Jim Hightower saying, if you're a high-tech CEO, you tell them to go to hell. And that's bad for America.
Standing up to the flying monkey right, it's more of Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. And then there's this. Paul Wolfowitz, the subhuman who is the Deputy Secretary of Defense in the Bush crime family and one of the main architects of the war in Iraq, was on one of these right-wing radio talk shows. That's, I know, it's redundant. Whose show was it? Laura Ingraham. And he admitted for the first time that Iraq had nothing to do with the September 11th terrorist attacks. Yeah. Oh, Jesus. See, don't you feel like fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, blah, 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 don't get fooled again. In an interview, this is according to what I have in front of me here, in an interview with conservative radio personality Laura Ingraham, Wolfowitz was asked when he first came to believe that Iraq was behind the 9/11 terrorist attacks. He answered,
"Well, I'm not sure even now that I would say Iraq had something to do with it."
In the first place, it doesn't say here whether the talk show host or a caller asked him when he first came to believe that Iraq was behind the terrorist attacks. You see, this is what the right wing has done. This is what right wing media has done. There are people in this country, a lot of them, millions, who believe that Iraq sent the bombers here. Now, Wolfowitz's answer, of course, confirms what you and I know, that the Bush crime family never had any proof or evidence or anything linking Iraq to 9/11 or al-Qaeda or anything. Wolfowitz said in the interview, "What you really got to do, quote, what you really got to do is eliminate terrorist networks and eliminate terrorism as a problem. And clearly, Iraq was one of the country, you know, top of the list of countries actively using terrorism as an instrument of national policy." God. Now, you remember last year that Rumsfeld boasted that the Pentagon and the CIA had provided what Rumsfeld called bulletproof evidence linking Iraq to al-Qaeda. Remember that? Remember these sons of bitches? Remember every single filthy lie? Think about the 250-some American dead. Think about the thousands of Iraqi civilians dead. Think about the Iraqi military dead, burned to a crisp from, napalm, whatever. Think about our soldiers that are dying there every day. Our soldiers. Our soldiers. And every single day, these little rat bastards just go one step further. No, we were just kidding. No, there was no there. No, we knew that from the beginning. Hey, look, we just had to have something to sex up the report to get you stupid Americans to back all this. God. God. Democrats in Congress, a majority of whom supported a resolution authorizing the use of military force to overthrow Saddam, said they are particularly interested in questioning Wolfowitz and other Pentagon officials about all this. Republicans, however, in an attempt to protect the White House from further embarrassment, are stopping the efforts by Democrats to launch such a probe. Yeah, well, these rat bastards, these Republicans. Republicans are filth. They're slime. If you vote Republican, you're a pig. You support mass killers. You hang your head in shame. Jesus is going to make sure you roast in hell. He is. He's going to do that to you if you are a Republican because you support this stuff with your vote and your money and your stupidity. What the Democrats are concerned about is a secret Pentagon committee headed by Wolfowitz and Undersecretary of Defense for Policy Douglas Feith that was responsible for all this this stuff. It's called the Office of Special Plans. We've talked about it. Oh, well. Quick break. We'll be back. Then your phone calls. 800-TALK-YES. Come on. Join us. I'm Mike Malloy.
We're playing all your favorites, but right now I have a pair of free tickets to tonight's big concert for the third caller. Oh, let's go to the phone lines. They are heating up, and let's see. Hello.
Hello.
Is this Ms. Shannon Johnson?
Yes, it is.
Oh, you sound very excited.
I am.
Well, Ms. Johnson, I have good news.
I'm the third caller.
No, I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
The World Commission that manages whale populations has moved toward greater protection for the animals. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. At its summer meeting in Berlin, the International Whaling Commission voted to create a conservation committee to draw up stronger measures to protect whale populations. Kieran Mulvaney directs the nonprofit Whale and Dolphin Conservation Society. Mulvaney says the IWC action, which passed by a thin margin, could eventually help whale populations recover, but he says it might also further polarize the commercial whaling debate.
It's really difficult to get a sense of just what are going to be the consequences of this decision. It's very good on one level in that the Commission has expressed very much its keenness to follow the conservation aspect of its mandate, but half the Commission, you know, the whalers and their sympathizers, have said that they're not going to participate at all in any of these conservation efforts. So on the one hand, it could be looked at as just something else that's going to further divide an already very divided Commission.
Japan and Norway are the only countries with active whaling programs, and they argue that none of the whale species they hunt is in trouble. But Mulvaney says marine mammals face a growing list of threats, including toxic chemicals, noise pollution, fishing nets, and global warming.
The number of problems that are facing whales now is significantly greater than even when commercial whaling was at its height. That's really a lot of the motivation behind what happened in Berlin with the adoption of this conservation committee, to provide a forum to address all these other issues that are affecting whales, because we can no longer look at commercial whaling in isolation.
Mulvaney, who's written a new book called The Whaling Season, says the market for whale meat has virtually disappeared and only government subsidies keep commercial whalers in business. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday.
Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring Fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boys, come on!
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES. Justice and the American Way with Mike Malloy. Where else?
27 before the hour. Josh is calling from White Plains, Alabama. Josh, welcome to the program.
What's up, man?
Hey, you are.
I just wanted to say that was a pretty awesome speech you gave on the Who Am I? I thought that was pretty interesting.
Oh, Bush's accomplishments?
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
That was pretty cool. I just had tuned in about halfway in the show. Or halfway through your spiel there, and I it was kind of comical, and I thought it was pretty funny.
Well, I don't, you know, that's interesting, Josh, because I don't see anything funny about what Bush has done. If I had a relative in the military that Bush was willing to slaughter for oil, I wouldn't consider that funny. If I had an old person in my family, and I do have some, that was unable to take care of themselves and had to rely strictly on Medicare or Medicaid, I wouldn't consider that funny. If I had a veteran in the family whose benefits had been slashed by this thug, I wouldn't consider that funny. If I had children, little children in school, who had to deal with overcrowded classrooms and no books and no budget because of this half-wits No Child Left Behind program, which is a joke, I wouldn't consider that funny. What part did you consider funny?
Well, I mean, turn on Fox News.
No, I don't. I usually don't watch Fox News because it's propaganda and it's BS and it makes no sense. None of it is true. It's all lies. Why watch lies?
the majority of Americans, that's, you know, that's what they see.
Well, that's because the majority of the Americans don't say, look, enough of this.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, that's why I thought it was kind of comical to me, because so many people are so blind to what's going on. They're just like, you know, oh, my God, I can't believe that these people in Iraq are doing what they're doing to their people. But, you know, what about American people? Like you said, what about the teachers who have to, you know, go without supplies for their kids? Or what about, you know, the elderly people who are having to do without their drugs, you know?
Well,
why take care of another country when, you know, we have problems at home?
Right, I understand. But Josh, why is that comical? I guess I got hung up on the word.
I guess maybe I got a bad sense of humor or whatever, but...
Okay, I get you.
I mean, you know, I'm just not funny at all.
Oh, I see.
I mean, in a serious sense, it's not funny.
Right.
But if you step back and you just kind of lied about it and you're just like, you know, man, this just the whole situation is just... And this is just all screwed up. You know, this is just a bad movie. You know, I mean, we've got, you know, Weenie Head up here in Washington... You know, going after, you know, trying to take out the guy who whooped his butt.
Well, let me ask you something. How's come most of the people here in Georgia, where we do this program from, and most of the people in Alabama, where you're calling from, when I say most, I'm talking about more than 50%, support George Bush? Why is that?
Well, because most of the people in Alabama, okay, most of the people in Alabama, they watch cable TV, they read their local papers, and a lot of you have a lot of lower class, low middle class people in Alabama, and that includes me. I'm a lower class, middle class citizen. I'm 20 years old. I'm in college, doing the best I can.
Mm-hmm.
But what they're influenced by, they see these upper class, higher middle class people. They're like, oh, they're so much smarter than we are.
Right.
They have all this, and we got to listen to what they say. Okay,
yeah.
Who's that? That's your Republicans.
Yeah, yeah.
That's, you know, and we've got this new Governor Bob Riley who's stepping in with this new tax plan.
Hey, I like what he's saying, though. I like what he's saying. He's saying, and this is great, it's an argument, or it's a toss-up, which is the buckle of the Bible Belt, either Alabama or Georgia. I claim it for Georgia. A lot of people claim it for Alabama. But what is funny to me, you talk about comical, here's Governor Bob Riley in Alabama telling people to support his tax cut because it's the Christian thing to do.
I know.
And the Christian Coalition is saying, no, it's not.
They're disputing it, yeah.
But the fact is, for people who really do subscribe to the Christian faith, that's exactly what Jesus said. Jesus said, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's.
That's right.
Jesus also said, easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than a rich man enter into the gates of heaven. So here's Bob Riley, who's just saying, look, if you all really are Christians, then you're going to have to open your purse and support this state government to do things like education, to do things like complete the road construction, to do things like clean up the toxic dumps, right? This is crazy. Now I understand what you mean by comical.
I don't want to get started on the Riley tax plan because, I mean, we could talk all night about how, you know, that's all screwed up and the system's all screwed up. But, you know, what you said about George Bush and the who am I, you know, that was insightful to me, and I just thought you'd done a good job on that.
Well, Josh, I'm glad you called in. Is this your first time calling?
Yeah, it's my first time.
Oh, I didn't have that down. Well, I'm glad you found the program. You're listening on WNSI.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, I'm glad you found the program. I hope you're going to call again.
Yes, sir, man. Just keep on doing what you do, man. We love listening.
All right, take care. Appreciate it, Josh. Yeah, the governor of Alabama, have you heard about this? It just cracks me up. It just cracks me up. Now, unlike Josh, I'm not sure what the tax plan is, but it may be a good one. It may be a bad one. I do know this. Alabama is, like the other 49 states, is in a crisis situation. A terrible situation. Thanks in part to Bush destroying the national economy. That reduces tax revenues. Thanks to Bush slashing taxes on the wealthy, that reduces tax revenues. Thanks to Bush for running up the national debt, the highest it's ever been in history, that also reduces the flow of money that states could use. Thanks to Bush for signing off on the largest military budget in the history of this country, in the history of the world, which sucks needed resources away from the states and into the military. So Bob Riley, like the other 49 governors, has to deal. See, he can't do deficit spending. The states can't do that the way Bush can. The states got to balance the books. This is why Gray Davis in California and the people who live in that state are in such a horrific situation. Okay, some of these governors, mismanagement of their states. I'm not disputing that. But the money has been cut off. The faucet has been turned off. So you got to, well, you don't have to, but I certainly find it, to use Josh's word, comical. In an ironic sense. That the governor of Alabama is appealing to the citizens of that state, since they claim to be all Christians. Hey, we're all Christians over here. Thank you, Jesus. We want the Ten Commandments in the state Supreme Court building, and we want to open everything with a prayer. Hallelujah. Ha! In the name of Jesus. Ha! You know, since they're into that, okay, Bob Riley is saying, all right, you talk the talk, let's see you walk the walk. Open up your purse. We need some money. Be a good Christian. And the Christian Coalition, that gang of thugs and Christ killers, those are the real Christ killers, are these Christian fundamentalists who destroy not just the message of Christ, but Christ himself. Absolutely destroy it. They are opposed to Riley. Here's Riley appealing, if no other phrase, let's use this one. He's appealing to Christian charity. Open up your purse. We are in a mess. And the Christian Coalition in Alabama? Hell, they'll probably try to figure out a way to get a recall petition on the ballot next October or November, since that seems to be a real popular Republican water sport right now, huh? Man. Thanks, Josh. Pat's calling from Cincinnati, Ohio. Hey, Pat.
This is one of my great mysteries of faith. If Jesus wants us to help the rich, why was he born in a horse stable?
Well, right, I understand. I understand.
And I think probably, although you can't just blame the South for this, the two greatest myths of our 200-some-year history, one is that I'll never understand why a million guys got mobilized to fight for the guy who lived in the big plantation house. And that was dumb enough, and all the casualties that were involved in the Civil War.
Right.
But I live on the border of Kentucky, and all you got to do is go over to any stop-and-go store over there, and there's all kinds of Confederate regalia. Mm-hmm. When were those glory days? When was this wonderful time? I mean, was there some time in history when it was great to be white and in the South? I don't know. I mean, maybe for a small amount of people, but I don't get the that part of the myth. I really don't.
Well, have you seen Michael Moore's movie Bowling for Columbine?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, he kind of lays it out in there in that real fast sequence he does with the animation about white people being terrified of colored people. And how white people built on that terror, and that was one of the reasons for the Civil War, was because white people, after they had imported other human beings to treat them as slaves, and the number of imported human beings started to get greater than the number of people doing the importing, all of a sudden white people in the South and the North and the border states, it wasn't just the South, all of a sudden they became terrified of the black people that they had imported and were treating as slaves, who were in fact slaves, and they started to be afraid that the black people would rise up and slit their white-ass throats. So part of that resulted in part of that was the cause of the Civil War. I know that's very simplified. There were economic reasons, there were political reasons, but a lot of it was based on white fear, which in turn was based on white guilt. And if you watch that part of Michael Moore's movie, and when he does the fast animation that goes on for, what, Kathy, about 5 or 6 minutes, it completely lays out When I saw that, I was sitting in an audience of blacks and whites, and the black folk were just whooping and hollering because the black folk understand this. So white folk were sitting there going, damn, I think he's on to something. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
So this thing about the Confederate South, I don't want to say. I've lived in the South for the better part of 40 years. I understand, I think, the Southern mentality at this point, the white Southern mentality. I don't quite understand the black Southern mentality yet. I'm still working to educate myself on that, but I damn sure understand the white Southern mentality. And some white Southern mentality is pretty clear. It's pretty honest. It's pretty good. It's pretty understanding. And some of it is just knuckle-dragging right-wing psychopath, you know. But you can say that about Chicago, too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You can say that about Milwaukee. Milwaukee is what now? The Milwaukee police have shot their 12th black man or the 14th black man in the past 7 or 8 months. I mean, you don't need to go to the South to find that.
Oh, no. It's very much alive in Cincinnati. We had a case about 6 months ago.
Oh, I well remember.
A vigilante.
Right.
Shot a black guy in a bar who was robbing the bar, okay? And the prosecutor, with a straight face, said, you know, folks are so worked up about crime, and they wouldn't even press charges against this guy. Now, the story that ran in all the news and all the witnesses talked about the black kids that came in and robbed the place with a gun.
Right.
Guns never been found.
Yeah, well.
They got their story together. And the message is out there, you know, but... So I guess, you know, it's like if guns are outlawed, only those folks will have guns, I think, right. Was the mentality. But
hey, pray that guns are never outlawed. Trust me, you know, I'm a liberal with a whole bunch of guns, and I strongly recommend that every single person in this country be armed. I wish it weren't so. In a perfect United States, or in a secure United States where we did not have a gang of psychopaths running the country, I would like to see everybody turn in their guns. I'd be the first. I'll line up and toss mine on a heap. But I'll tell you what, as long as this country is being ripped to pieces by right-wingers, the way this Bush cabal is, I think I'm going to remain armed just a little bit longer. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I don't agree with you.
I know you don't, and I respect that. And my wife doesn't agree with me either. And I'm coming out of fear. And, yes, I understand the crazy karmic dynamic that I'm talking about here when I talk about I am a liberal with several guns. I understand that. And I do. And I'm almost ashamed of the fact that I take that position. The qualifier is almost. I'm not completely ashamed of it. I'd like to live in a society. I'd like to live in a country like Canada. They have guns, but people don't kill one another up there. You understand what I'm saying? You don't have to agree. I respect you for not agreeing. Okay, Pat?
Okay, thanks, Mike.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate your call. The gun issue is a tough issue for so-called liberals. I understand that. I understand that. My kids, my adult kids. Daddy, oh, my God. Put the rifle away. Daddy, oh, my God, where did you get the Glock 9mm? Daddy, I'm sorry, in a way. But all I can say is, I know how to use these weapons. And again, I don't know if you heard the story or not, but the only reason that I got into the gun thing was when a member of the Atlanta Police Department anti-terrorism unit, back when terrorism was not the kind of terrorism that we're talking about now, terrorism was white vigilantes and lynchings, and there were still lynchings 15 years ago in the South, either by truck or whatever. But I had been threatened enough on WSB radio. I mean, my life threatened enough times. That there was a whole file on me in Atlanta Homicide Police Department. And finally, the guy from the anti-terrorism unit came out and said, Mr. Malloy, you know, that's your choice, your call. We don't like to say this, but you might consider getting a permit to carry a gun. Now, when you have a lieutenant with the Atlanta Police Department anti-terrorism unit suggesting you carry a weapon, Jesus. I used to have a police escort take me from the back door of WSB Radio into the parking lot. Every night, the guy was out there, 1 o'clock in the morning, in the black and white cop car. Hey, Mike. Hey, John. How you doing? And why? Because of the right-wing, white-skinned demons that told me my ass was dead. And I just made it clear, you want to get ass, you got to bring ass. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Second Amendment, it's unlikely anyone will shoot me. Oh, will he ever learn? No, he never will learn. With our fate, he's unconcerned. He'll abide forever by our right to bear Uzis. He's a man who never will learn. Georgie's gun-loving minions always greet him when he visits, and they give him a dollar or two. And because of all the loopholes they have given Georgie millions, it's insane, but sadly it's true. Oh, will he ever learn? No, he never will learn.
I believe that people who are going to commit crime shouldn't have guns.
Ride forever on the train of money. He's a man who never will learn.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen, we're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817. The Washington Monthly.
Show. Jody in Arlington Heights, she said, first, yesterday's show was the first time I was seriously concerned for your health. I hope you've recovered. You know, I'm fine. I get crazy. My blood pressure skyrockets. I understand that. I have a pretty good doctor who recently put me on blood pressure medicine, and it seems to be working. There have been times when I've done talk radio when I thought I was going to burst an artery, but that would make for good radio, wouldn't it?
Hey, did you hear Malloy program the other night? Some bitch died right on the air. There was this popping sound. Woo, man, cool. I bet Rush couldn't do that.
Sorry, didn't mean to frighten you. You're a bit late for that.
Hey, funny twist.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
You'll be seeing a lot of changes around here.
The new weekend programming lineup is more entertaining than ever. Kicking off Saturday mornings with Doug Steffens' Talk Radio Countdown, followed by Bobby Likas Car Clinic. Then Saturdays are brightened with the informative antics of Animal Talk, followed by the home improvement experts on Home Improvement USA. If you've been wondering about that old so-called junk, then you'll love Antique Talk with Christopher Kent, followed by Talking Pets with John Patch. Learn your job rights on Sunday mornings with the employee's lawyer, Stephen Sack. And the latest in the world of technology on Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline. Ramblin' with Ramsey will fill you into the hot spots to travel, followed by the second installment of the funniest live animal talk show, Animal Talk.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
For more information on these shows or other shows on IE America Radio Network, call 1-800-397-8255. But for now, listen to us live on IEAmericaRadio.com.
Wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun? Wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun? Wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun?
We wouldn't need the police no more because everybody would have a gun.
Yeah, wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun?
Ammunition against right-wing rhetoric. Get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
All right. Bye before the hour. I hate that. I hate to get into that crazy riff that I get into. I don't mean to come across like some kind of a macho thug. I'm not. I'm a pussycat. Man, I am a pushover. I really am. I will turn around and walk away from a confrontation and run if necessary. But there is that part of me that understands what is real in this society. I would like to live in a society where we could all just be comfortably disarmed. That's not here, and you know it. If your position is no guns, God bless you. I hope you prevail. I really, really do. But that's not my position right now. I hope to someday evolve to a higher plane where that will be my attitude. All right? But it's not just up to me. When you work in a business like I have, where your life has been threatened by some pretty serious people, I guess, I didn't, another asshole calling in to threaten my life, huh? Okay. But then when they have to clear Cox Communications, WSB, I'm sorry for the use of the word, I apologize. Okay, somebody threatens my life, and we have to clear WSB radio so the bomb squad can come in with dogs. Then all of a sudden you start to think, hey, there may be something to this. So I don't want to come across like some kind of, your typical... Whatever. I don't know. Never mind. Vernon is calling from Kansas City. Hey, Vernon.
Hey, Mike. Hey, by the way, do you remember the Colorado talk show host that got gunned down?
Oh, yeah. I forget his name. Alan...
Freeman? I think that was his name.
No, it was Alan. Somebody will email it to me. They're typing it right now. But, yeah, I remember. He was shot dead by white devils.
Yeah. And so I really don't blame you for carrying a weapon. Actually, if you could carry an AK-47,
I'd shoot my leg off.
Well, you know, if you could carry something with
no, I'm fine. I'm not. I'm fine, Vernon. I hate to even talk about it. I don't know how I got off on that rant.
Well, but... I tell you what. And did you get the email about Pfizer? You want to talk about
the drug company?
Yeah, Pfizer.
Yeah.
The drug company.
Hey,
how they're holding us hostage.
Yeah, let me put you on hold, Vernon.
Okay.
All right, because we got a break here. We'll come back and pick up Vernon and the rest of your calls right after this break. Do stay with us. Bang, bang! I'm Mike Malloy.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Tia Carrera is on the front
in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years on them.
Well,
a few more years on them.
No, I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. Jordan has condemned the bomb attack on its embassy in Baghdad, which has claimed at least 12 lives, as a cowardly act of terror. Correspondent Jomana Karadzhe, reporting from Amman, says the Jordanian government has rejected the idea that the attack might be linked to the fact that Jordan has given asylum to two of Saddam Hussein's daughters.
The Jordanian government refused to link it in any way to the daughter's stay in the country, and said that it is an isolated incident and will not affect the kingdom's stability nor its stand in helping the people of Iraq.
Karadzhe says the government had no prior knowledge it might be a target of attack, and Jordanians are deeply shocked by the incident. More people have been forced to flee their homes as one of three raging wildfires in British Columbia grows in size. Thousands of firefighters are continuing to battle the blaze north of Kamloops. Fire crews say the wildfire has grown by at least 50%. The flames have consumed a large amount of trees and forest land. Residents are hoping their homes won't be next. People living in several towns surrounding Kamloops have been evacuated. An estimated 7,200 people are out of their homes, down from as many as 10,000. Strong winds have sent large plumes of smoke into the sky. They're also accompanied by lightning, which is continuing to cause problems for firefighters. Fire officials say more than 200 small wildfires have been caused by lightning.
If you're losing your hair, then I have great news for you. Now you can have twice as much hair within 90 days, guaranteed. Announcing Hair Advantage, the world's most advanced hair regrowth system that will reverse baldness, fill in embarrassing bald spots, and regrow up to twice as much new hair, guaranteed. The secret of Hair Advantage lies in a recent medical discovery that showed 95% of all hair loss was due to the body's overproduction of DHT. Hair Advantage stops DHT from attacking your hair follicle as it starts regrowing new hair in balding areas. Hair Advantage contains a patented active ingredient that was approved by the FDA for hair regrowth. In clinical studies, the majority of people regrew their hair, with almost half experiencing dense hair regrowth. So call now for your risk-free trial, and you can have twice as much hair within 90 days, guaranteed. Hair Advantage is safe, clinically proven, and effective on virtually everyone. Call toll-free 1-800-213-4495. That's 1-800-213-4495. 1-800-213-4495.
In the wake of Pittsburgh Mayor Tom Murphy's announcement that more than 700 city employees will be losing their jobs, the city's EMTs gathered at the city-county building this morning to demand answers from city officials. The group claims they were not officially notified that 37 EMTs will be laid off, instead finding out through news reports. Deputy Mayor Bob Kennedy briefly spoke with the group, saying he would meet with representatives in private, but union president Jeff Vesey said no.
The mayor's a liar. He made a phone call to me. He's a liar.
We know he called you. And you know
he called me. Well, tell him to come on out there and just tell me he made a phone call.
You know your contract.
I do know my contract. Yes, I do.
And you know you'll be given written notification.
Well, I hope we get that written notification soon, so I can maybe, you know, find jobs for these people. Seems as we don't have jobs anymore.
It's difficult times, Joe.
It's difficult times, and we're going to put public safety at risk.
The group then went across the hall to the city council offices. Council President Gene Ricciardi agreed to meet with the entire group in a closed-door meeting. During the meeting, EMTs were given the chance to voice their opinions, and Ricciardi agreed to help them save their jobs.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen, we're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Northwest Airlines is being sued by its machinists union because the carrier declined to buy back stock issued to employees 10 years ago in exchange for wage cuts. In a recent message to workers, CEO Richard Anderson said Northwest wants to buy back the stock but can't.
There are legal restrictions that limit a Delaware corporation from buying back its stock or paying a dividend. And these legal restrictions apply to any stock buyback, whether the stock is held by employees, mutual funds, or large individual holders or banks.
Northwest is incorporated in Delaware, where Anderson says the law orders other financial obligations to be met before a stock buyback. Along with the ground workers, the flight attendants union says it may look at a similar suit. It was a mixed day on Wall Street. The Dow Jones Industrial Average gained 65 points to 91.26. The Nasdaq closed down less than a point to 16.25. The S&P 500 gained 7 points to 9.74. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Years ago, a small hard drive meant a trafficy physical commute. Today, it's the curse of telecommuting. But however you get to work, I'll pave the way with some timely maintenance tips when we come back.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas. 10 years ago, I discovered the company with the best fuel injector cleaner, BG Products. Now wait, there's more. To do the job right requires cleaning both the fuel and the air induction systems. The process is called BG Complete Induction System Service. If you want your vehicle to run like new, don't settle for anything less. To find a shop near you to perform this service, go to bgfindtheshop.com. That's bgfindtheshop.com.
Whether you commute to work via old-fashioned blacktop or the Internet superhighway, automotive maintenance will give you more time for fun. Just remember, give me five. One, once a year, treat your vehicle to an annual inspection. Two, every 2 years, change brake fluid. Three, it's time for an oil service every 3,000 miles. Four, mark your calendar every 4 years for new radiator hoses. And five, rotate tires every 5,000 miles. Now, take five, away from your busy job to enjoy a cruise in your well-maintained vehicle. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Indeed. Welcome back. 7 past the hour. 800-TALK-YES is the number. We're talking with Vernon. Thanks for holding on, Vernon.
Hey, it's my pleasure.
No.
In fact, listening to you is my pleasure.
Well, thanks a lot.
Hey, I mean that.
I know you do. But you didn't call in to talk about my gun crazy ways.
No. But I just wanted to make sure you were armed and ready.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well,
yes.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. But no, I was talking about Pfizer. The House yesterday passed a bill that said that they would allow Americans to get Canadian drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And Pfizer said, "You do that to Canada." This is who they said. We'll cut you off.
Cut who off?
They'll cut the Canadian pharmaceutical places off. I mean, you want to talk about playing dirty.
Oh, my God.
I sent you a link. Actually, another guy sent you a link on this story. It's in the New York Times.
Okay. I may not have printed it off yet, or maybe I've got it in the stack here. You know how far we have come. How many presidents, from Jefferson to Lincoln to Roosevelt, all of them? How many presidents, Democrat and Republican, warned us about corporatism taking over this country? You know that we should be a small We should be a country of small businesses, small manufacturing plants, if not mom-and-pop businesses, certainly not these mega corporations that are just raping and destroying not just this country but also the planet, just absolutely the most anti-family organization on the planet is a corporation. How many presidents have warned us about this? These bastards, these Pfizer bastards. This is just, it is unconscionable, and yet, Vernon, it is so typical. It is so typical.
But they're not the only ones.
I know they're not.
And here's the thing. We support them with our tax money.
Yeah, we do.
And I mean, it's and they talk about, beat their chest about free enterprise.
I know.
If I were in business and I had the U.S. government backing me, there's no way I could fail.
No, there really isn't.
I've said my piece.
Well, thanks, Vernon. I appreciate you checking in.
As I said, I'm always listening.
Thank you, sir.
I'll see you.
All right. Take care, Vernon. Yeah. Eisenhower warned us against a certain aspect of it, the so-called military-industrial complex. Lincoln warned about it. Jefferson warned about it. Roosevelt, Franklin, FDR warned about it. And here we are, huh? Doug is calling from Payson, Arizona. Doug, welcome to the program.
How are you?
Hey, I'm doing fine, Doug.
Mike?
Yes.
I wondered, when you were talking about right wingers, one of them lives down there, Ralph Reed. What's the latest on him?
He's the head, unless he's off to do something else, he was the head of the Georgia Republican Party. Ralph Reed helped turn two respectable Democrats out of office.
Oh, God, I know he's dangerous.
Oh, he is. Ralph Reed is... I don't know what movie it was. The little Chucky dolls, those little dolls that would come and eat your flesh off. Do you remember those movies? Hopefully you don't remember them.
The only reason... I do.
Yeah, it's called Child's Play, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, that's Ralph Reed always reminds me. He looks like a little doll.
He does.
Yeah.
He absolutely. And he is so dangerous. And doesn't he live in Atlanta?
I think he does, yes.
Yeah. But I thought about him today when you talked about right-wingers. By the way, I live in Payson. And I made a vow last time I listened to you. We have a hard time getting you sometimes on the network.
Uh-huh.
We live in a small town, but I vowed last time I'd get 10 other people to listen to you, and I have done that.
Oh,
so I want you to know that.
That is so kind. Thank you.
Well, you're very welcome. And then a couple things. Gore, did you listen to Gore's speech today?
I had it printed off. We talked about it extensively during the first hour of the program tonight.
I couldn't get you then, so I don't want to be redundant, but he
no,
did a good job, I thought.
Yeah,
But he just doesn't have balls enough to get real down to the core.
You're the second one who said that. Somebody said that to me in an email, and I cleaned it up and said cojones. But,
he just needs to... these guys have to fight those bastards, just like they're fighting us, you know.
Yeah, I know.
And then I think another thing with Davis, and then I'll get off in a minute. Davis has to tell the people
uh-huh.
the real problem he has with Enron.
Yeah.
The Enron. And then the last question I want to ask you is, I heard that the time's going to run out on those bastards, laying those guys. Is there a possibility they'll go scot-free?
I've heard that the statute of limitations on some of these crimes, now, I don't know. That could just be rumor and innuendo from people who would like to see justice served. I don't know. The crimes...
Wouldn't that be tragic?
Oh, it would. But it would be expected because this is the financier, Ken Lay, of the Bush, George W. Bush's entire political career.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
So he's got protection.
How could a working person in America possibly vote for those guys?
That's been the mystery to me since forever. I have no idea.
I just can't. Well, you are an absolute spark. For two nights, I couldn't get you on internet, and my wife said that I'm hung up on you like drugs or something. I want you to know it's a neat feeling, and you are absolutely superb. I talked to your producer. You're a neat. Are you growing in population? Are more people listening to you all the time?
I certainly hope so.
I hope so too. I think they are, but you need to be expose more, right?
I know.
And you're such a neat guy. Well, I just wanted to call in and tell you that every once in a while, you don't mind if I call in, do you?
No, not at all. This is talk radio, Doug. I look forward to you calling in.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
That's it, because I know you have other callers.
All right. I do appreciate it. Yeah, this network is working. IE America Radio Network is working to try to get this program out to more people via the radio, so you're not lashed to your computer just to hear the damn thing. Now, my producer has been warning me over and over and over about my use of coarse language on this program, and I completely admit to not using the kind of language that I should, and I do apologize. We have a lot of people, as we pick up new stations, people might be hearing this program for the first night, and they hear one of my SOBs or one of my other nasty epithet, cuss words, whatever. And they'll just tune right out. So I do apologize for that. And I don't want you as listeners or callers to think that I'm bringing some kind of a standard down low to this program that everybody can, this program is not just on the internet. If it were just on the internet, it would be a different situation, but it's not. It's on radios. It's on Sirius satellite channel. It's streamed around the globe, and well, that's the internet. And I do apologize for that. It's because I just get furious, and I've got to learn, at my age, I still have things to learn, how to keep some of that in check. But I, Kathy keeps telling me and telling me and telling me, you've got to stop using that language. So I'm going to make an effort, and, y'all can help by just kind of sliding past whatever substandard I may have set in my use of that language. It's just, I'm ashamed. Boy, I'm telling you, I'm ashamed of my language. I'm ashamed I'm a gun owner. What else can I, nail myself to a cross about here? Oh, gee, should I tell everybody about that? Okay, let me just do this very quickly. I got a call from a producer. Oh, God. I got a call from a producer from the Fox News Channel a few days ago. And he wanted me to participate or be the subject of, or one of the, I don't know how many subjects there are, of a package that they're putting together for one of the Fox News programs, I think Shepard Smith. Now, I don't know these names, but the producer said in the phone call with me, he said, would you be willing to do it? And I said, no, absolutely not. And then I just jumped all over him. Called him everything but a decent human being. I said, I think Rupert Murdoch is a thug and what Fox News Channel has done to this country. I just went on and on. So this guy, he let me rant. I said, I told the Hannity program, don't ever email me or call me again with your, little pissy. Oh, see, there I did it again. Your little nasty request to be on Hannity and Combs. Not if they held a gun to my firstborn's head would I go on that program. So I just told him, I said, no. He said, all right, look, let me just say this. By you not participating, we want to get this program, we want to get this segment on about liberal talk radio. All the conservatives say that a liberal couldn't make it, that there's no market. Now, you're the one we're coming to because a lot of people in the industry said, get in touch with Malloy. So if you don't participate, what's the story going to be? We'll find somebody else, but we want your voice. So it suddenly occurred to me that the guy I was talking to was just a working stiff like me, and I said, well, okay. So they sent a camera crew over here, and we did it. And I think it's going to be on Monday night. They're going to email me and let me know when it's going to be on. Now, I had said before I would never go on Fox News Channel, but a couple of you sent me emails, some of them pretty strongly worded, that said, you're crazy, Malloy. Go on and state the case for those of us who never get a voice on Fox. They're venal, lying thugs. Go on Fox when you get a chance and do what you can do. And I thought about that and shoved that back. But, I've turned down all of it now. I don't do MSNBC anymore. I don't do CNN anymore. I never did Fox. I just don't do it. But this guy made a pretty persuasive case. So they came over, and, you know, he's a nice guy. And he, we had a little off-the-record conversation about his feelings about, but, you know, everybody's got to have a paycheck, right? So anyway, if you're, now I wasn't going to say anything. I was going to wait and see if anybody called in Monday and said, hey, you were on Fox. I thought you said it. And I was going to come right back and say, you were watching Fox. You see, we're going to play a little game of gotcha. But I decided just to go ahead and be honest and let you know that, it's Monday. I think it's Monday night. Now it may get trashed. They may just throw it in the sewer in television sewer. You know, there is such a, you know, drain pipe. When they put together these, they produce these pieces, these packages, and it's a little bit more strident or stronger than what they wanted. And Kathy was in here producing the show when this all occurred, and she said, "I was proud of you because you really kicked ass and took names." Only she didn't say ass. She doesn't cuss, but. And there I go again. So we'll see what happens. Just wanted to give you a heads up, okay?
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Show. Well, let's move on to somebody who is evil but very bright. That would be Ari Fleischer at the briefing today.
The job of anybody who is the White House press secretary is to faithfully articulate what the president is thinking and why he's thinking it. And that's what I do for a living.
Yeah, right. The job of the press secretary is to faithfully articulate what the president is thinking?
When do I get to my Game Boy? Hey, it's time for lunch. I want to take a nap. How do you spell Putin? Let me see. Who's the president of Afghanistan?
You know he tried to kill my dad?
Oh, my God. There's Laura with my milk. Faithfully articulate what the president is thinking?
All righty, then.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to animal talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Yeah.
Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off...
Why?
...is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
Ready for a liberal helping of the truth? Here's Mike.
24 past the hour. Don't forget Nancy Skinner, talk show host and now a Democratic candidate for the United States Senate from Illinois, is going to join us on the program during the second hour tomorrow night to discuss all this. If she gets, if she wins, do we have to call her Madam Senator? I mean, what the hell do I call her? Do I say Senator Skinner, or can we still call her Nancy? Do you have any idea, Kathy? No, she is. She's a good friend. She was a friend of, I guess, more of Kathy's friend than my friend in Chicago. Well, because they're both women, they hung out together a lot more. I'd wanted to hang out with her more, but Kathy wouldn't let me do it. I kept saying, well, Nancy and I just want to go bowling. Yeah, you just keep your ass right here. I'll go bowling with Nancy. Don't worry about it. You know, that kind of thing. But, no, I like Skinner a lot. I really do. And she's very serious about running for the seat that Peter Fitzgerald is not going to seek reelection for in Chicago. And it's wide open, Democrats and Republicans. So Nancy Skinner is going to be on this program tomorrow night, second hour. Hope you're going to. Because they won't let her on WLS anymore. They fired her from her Sunday job with Ski Anderson. Can you believe that? They fired her. There's no requirement any longer. Thanks to Reagan. Thanks to Clinton. No requirement. No FCC rule or reg that says somebody running for public office can't host a radio or television program. But the cowards and the punks and the corporate nasties over at WLS, ABC owned and operated in Chicago, fired her from her three-hour Sunday show. So she won't be, I guess, you know, when she gets her financing or funding together, whatever you call it, to run for office like that, I wonder if she'll buy time on WLS. Will she buy 30-second or 60-second spot on WLS? I tell them to go pound sand up their nearest body orifice and buy it on WGN. Charles is calling from Augusta, Georgia. Hey, Charles.
Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing, bro.
Mike, I tell you, in light of the last 48 hours of liberal media broadcast,
yeah,
there's two movies you need to see.
Okay, what are they?
The first one is See Dick Run, starring Kobe Bryant.
Yeah. Oh, that's so bad. Yeah, you better have a long talk with your minister, Charles.
But the second one is See Running Dick, starring Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, right. You better have a long conversation with your preacher, bro. I'm telling you.
Mike, I got a question.
Yeah, okay.
Have you met any Austrians besides Schwarzenegger who has the first name of Arnold?
I've never met any Austrian. Arnold. I know what was happening. On the monitor in here, we had CNN on, and all of a sudden, that evil white demon from hell, what's her name? Ann Coulter. The woman, now, no aspersions here. We have a vast audience that are transsexuals, and I love them as much as I love anybody. but Ann Coulter, with that huge Adam's apple, you know that's a man underneath that dress. You know it is. But anyway, all of a sudden, there she is. So we got that off real quick, switched over to MSNBC, and there is some, I think he was a rabbi, sitting there being interviewed saying, well, yeah, Arnold asked us to do some research on his father, and yes, we found out that his father joined the Nazi Party in Austria in 1941. But somehow I got the impression that this rabbi was whatever they do in the Judaism thing, like in Catholicism, they what do they call that, Kathy, when they not excommunicate, when they forgive your sins? What's that called? Anyway, I, Yeah, resolve, absolve, absolution. Thank you. So I had the feeling that this rabbi was saying to the MSNBC anchor guy, well, it's okay that Arnold's father was a Nazi. You know, we absolve him because, you know, and I'm sitting there thinking, you know, this thing in California, is this not a zoo, Charles? Is this not? Let me put you on hold, brother, before you answer, because we have to take a break here. All right. I'm just talking way too much tonight. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
To watch without passion, without compassion, without any emotion, as if we'd all been drugged.
We got news goop, what we need to know. News goop, what we want to know. We got news goop, what we think we know. Got remote control to the show. But the ball we watch, the less we know. Ignorance grows on the spirit like a tumor.
Till freedom is a rumor.
News. 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 News.
All right, folks, while we have a minute, let's go up to the chopper with Brad Powell, get a traffic update. Brad, what do you see up there?
Well, thanks a lot, Scott. Nothing you're going to want to hear about, unfortunately. You can expect major delays on the interstate. An overturned tractor trailer's got traffic backed up for about 25 miles. It's a real bad situation, Scott, but I do have good news.
What's that, Brad?
I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See how much you could save. Visit GEICO.com. GEICO, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
A 7-week strike at Hyundai Motors of South Korea is at an end, and workers are declaring victory. The strike pitted nearly 40,000 Hyundai employees against a carmaker whose inventory shortages forced it to halt production at factories in 5 countries. Hyundai estimates it lost $1.2 billion in lost output due to the strike. With their victory, workers will enjoy a wage increase that's nearly 3 times the rate of inflation, and beginning on September 1st, Hyundai employees will only have to work 5 days a week. Nam-Yol Jo is Deputy Director of Policy for the Korean Confederation of Trade Unions, or KCTU.
We are a member of OECD, and the average is 1,800 hours a week in labor work. But in Korea, we work more than 2,400 hours, so we don't have enough time to enjoy our lives. And there are a lot of accidents that happen because we work a lot. To solve this problem, we are suggesting 5 days work a week.
The workers also want protection against layoffs and a much greater role in the management of Hyundai. Union members are expected to ratify the deal tomorrow.
The Supreme Court of India strikes a surprising blow against the country's unions. In a ruling yesterday, the court declared that Indian workers may have the right to bargain collectively, but they do not have the right to strike, especially if it harms or inconveniences the populace as a whole. The decision is part of a docket of cases relating to the mass firing of 176,000 government workers in the state of Tamil Nadu last month after a million of them went on strike. Earlier, the Supreme Court upheld the mass firing but suggested the government reinstate all but a couple thousand workers. So far, all but 6,000 are back on the job.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
The Mr. Rogers Parenting Book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Everything I know about my country, I learned on TV. The man on the screen tells me who is our enemy.
And now, the man conservatives love to hate. It's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour.
My car and my gun.
800-TALK-YES is the number, and we're talking with Charles in Augusta, Georgia. Charles, thanks for holding on.
Yes, sir. Mike, I was watching one of these local Yoko news broadcasts this evening, and one of these idiots, he was joking. Well, first he was talking about Arnold running, and, you know, and it was such a great thing, and then he came right after that and talked about, oh, the big joke about Gary Coleman running.
Yeah, that's I heard that that Coleman is running,
and I'm just sitting now. Why is it a joke that Coleman is running,
but not Arnold?
Right,
right. But at least you could be sure that none of Gary Coleman's people were Nazis.
And the thing about Schwarzenegger, every time I see him or hear his name, all I can think about is that pig on Green Acres, you know, the pet Arnold. I mean, I can't get past the pig every time I hear his name.
Yeah, but that Schwarzenegger thing, that's pretty heavy duty, too. Right?
Yeah.
Now, you got to be real careful how you say that man's name.
Ow! Well, what I don't understand is, how does Maria Shriver?
I don't know. I have no idea. You know, here's a Kennedy woman married to a former Nazi. I mean, I don't know. Of course, you got to keep in mind that the Kennedy family, didn't they have something to do with the Nazis too, Kathy? I mean, I know Joe Kennedy was a bootlegger, you know, and smuggled all that hooch down from Canada, and that's one of the ways he made his fortune. But I think Joe Kennedy was a Nazi supporter. I don't think he did business with the Nazis the way the Bush family did. So maybe Maria is just, you know, all of these people are crazy. You understand what I'm saying? They are all crazy. The only two sane people on the planet, Charles, are you and me.
That's right. You know what I think?
What?
Maybe there's a way we can get Tony Blair in that election, that recall election.
Hey, listen, you have a good night.
Oh, thanks, Mike.
All right, sir. Take care. Okay, not just Charles and me. Bad thing here. Bad thing. Just somebody just emailed to me. 4 more U.S. soldiers reportedly killed in Baghdad today, Thursday, when two U.S. tanks and a Humvee personnel carrier came under a rocket-propelled RPG attack, bursting the U.S. military vehicles into flames. Oh, Jesus. This is on top of the two soldiers that were killed yesterday that we talked about earlier tonight in a firefight in Baghdad's al-Rashid district. I mean, doesn't it make you crazy to think that there are young American men, I'm sorry, boys, who are being shot dead in Iraq because George, by God, Bush ran out of patience, because Dick Cheney wants the oil, because Wolfowitz and Feith and Pearl want to establish U.S. military bases there to protect Israel? Doesn't that just churn your stomach? I've seen this movie. And so have you. We've all seen this movie over and over and over again. Young American men, boys, being shot dead because of the attitudes of the Bushes, both of them, or the Reagans, or the Clintons, or the Eisenhowers. Yeah, Eisenhower. Didn't the Dominican Republican thing occur on Eisenhower's watch? Oh, well. Dave is calling from San Francisco. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
Doing fine, sir.
Can I use the word holy moly, kind of make that a suggestion for you? Oh, holy moly.
Well, it's either that or I'm going to lose my job, one of the two, you know.
Holy moly.
I'll try that.
You never do that because you're such an inspiration.
Oh, fudge. Maybe if I just say, oh, fudge.
Yeah, or maybe, will they allow you to say crap?
Crap? Well, that's
it's an in-between term.
Yeah, that's an in-between,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, with the deaths over in Iraq, it shouldn't be any surprise when you go in on the basis of lies that the people are going to rise up against any occupying force. But what I called about is Arnold Schwarzenegger, and I just find it absolutely beyond absurd that here's this guy who, you know, he makes violent movies. Take care of your problems, you know, violence is the answer. I mean, if you look at all the movies he's ever made, all the way back through.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Yeah, they always depend on violence.
Oh, sure.
And I find that absolutely gastronomic in and of itself. But then I went to the Internet, Mike, and I just couldn't help myself. I went to Schwarzenegger on the Internet, and I found a site. And here's a guy, by the way, who, what, 8-9 years ago had major bypass surgery.
Arnold did?
Yes, he did.
Oh, that's right. I vaguely remember that story. That's right. He did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah. And I went to this Internet site, and, you know, it was determined at the time that a big part of the reason that this happened to Arnold, as young as he was then...
The steroid use?
Was the steroid use.
Yeah.
And then I went to his site, SchwarzeneggerByButler.com, and here he is again selling hormones. And not only that, but I went into a different page on the site, and I found all these, like, here's a good one. You can buy Phentermine, Xenical, Adipex, Didrex. Didrex, by the way, I looked that up, and that is benzphetamine, which is benzodrine, right?
These are things that the Arnold sells?
Well, it says Schwarzenegger by Butler, they're using Arnold's name. I'm sure Arnold wouldn't be allowing his name to be used without having a cut of the profits.
You wouldn't think.
No, but it goes further, and it says, U.S. licensed pharmacist consultations, free delivery on all 90-day orders. FDA.
Oh, you, over the Internet.
Yeah, pharmacist? What about a doctor?
Pharmacist consultation in order to get this stuff, huh?
Yeah.
You just click on a couple of keystrokes and you're home
sure.
free. Oh,
and here they were complaining, the right-wingers were complaining about poor old Governor Ventura in Minnesota, right, because he had previously used,
right.
you know, to get the size and so forth. You know, Jerry Falwell came on one time and said, well, Arnold's been bumped around the ring too many times and on those hormones and drugs too many times. And
yeah,
he
right.
did, you know. And so now the right wing has got somebody out here, Arnold Schwarzenegger, an actor,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And what an act.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, what a put on. And by the way, you mentioned Kennedy, actually, I think probably the guy Prescott Kennedy, George H.W. Bush's father, was...
you mean Prescott Bush?
Yes.
Yeah.
Was closely associated with the neo-Nazis, and Nazis actually supported the Nazis.
Oh, yeah. We,
of course, here's Joe Kennedy that did the same thing, and his son John turned against it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, in that speech in early 1963 at American University, that one where he talked about not a Pax Americana enforced on the world by American weapons of war.
That's right, yeah.
That was the speech that I think actually kind of turned the tide against him and the military-industrial complex, the CIA and the mafia.
And they decided to whack him.
They did, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, no. It was Lee Harvey Oswald.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, I hear that.
No, I've seen a lot of the evidence on that and read it and studied it over the years. And not only did Oswald not do it, he was, you know, he was a communist or a socialist anyway. But he was a kid who had gone over to Russia, committed treason.
You know, I got an email from somebody that said, since this is the 40th year, which is hard for me to believe, the 40th year since Kennedy was gunned down, that would we address the whole issue of the Kennedy assassination? And,
that was me.
That came from you?
Yes.
Well, we will do it. We will figure out something, and we'll do it towards the... horrible anniversary of his death. Maybe sometime in November, we'll just open stuff up.
I think that would be great because there's
people
so much
to talk about it. Yeah,
sure. Because you take it from that event to Watergate and who was the real deep throat because he was a part of the Bay of Pigs thing that was talked about mm-hmm. by Nixon and the smoking gun tape.
Right.
and that whole thing right there. I don't think Mr. Fielding was really the ultimate deep throat. I think there was somebody telling him what to do if he was, in fact, the guy that turned the news over.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. You get no disagreement from me. Dave, thanks so much for checking in tonight.
Thank you.
All right, sir. Take care. You know, about the Arnold thing, Schwarzenegger, first of all, it's just like Dave said. It's ludicrous. It's ludicrous. Is there the possibility of a lesser qualified candidate to be the governor of California than Arnold Schwarzenegger? Is there anybody out there who is less qualified than Schwarzenegger? Conan the totalitarian. Oh, my God. And I don't care if he's a pro gay rights or pro environment or whatever Republican. He's still a Republican, and that means he deals in mass death, dishonesty, chicanery, murder, mayhem, and the destruction of this republic. Did I leave anything out? But I heard on television or NPR someplace somebody was saying the other day after he announced it was just yesterday that. The anticipation was that he was going to announce, and that the Davis campaign, now I guess you'd have to call it a campaign, that they were going to pull out all the stops. They were going to do to him what they did to the Republicans, the Republican who ran against him, Davis, in Davis's reelection, that it's going to be brutal. Somebody said this is not going to be an election that's going to be supervised by the League of Women Voters. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. You know what that means. Sorry, girls, but you know how they use you as. But it's not going to be an election supervised by the League of Women Voters. That Arnold's loose zipper is going to be brought up. Arnold's attitudes, the fact that Arnold is a moron, an empty-headed weightlifter who pushes, as Dave said, pushes steroids. He's a licensed drug pusher, womanizer. You know, and it was we mentioned this the other night. It was the Republicans who set this substandard for politicians. You know, let's get into their crotch, let's get into their zippers, let's get into their bras, let's get into their pants, let's find out all the filth and trash, the stuff that we call filth and trash. It's just normal sexual activity, I guess. But let's expose it all. This is Republican attitude. So, and I could never figure out, well, I guess I did figure it out, why the Democrats didn't come back with, like, Newt Gingrich and Robert Livingston, who was supposed to succeed Newt, and Helen Chenoweth and Henry Hyde and Bob Barr, and, oh, my God, the list just goes on, and George Herbert Walker Bush. All these Republicans who have violated their marriage vows, who have cheated Eisenhower, there's no stopping, okay? I mean, it just goes on. And the answer was, well, Democrats don't bring it up because Democrats have more decency or scruples or the desire to leave a person's private life private than Republicans. And I guess that's true. But in this case, it's not going to be true because Gray Davis, I think, is he knows what's going on, and I hope he fights back. I don't know anything about Gray Davis except for the fact that I do know that most people in California, according to the polls, don't care for his brand of leadership. I also know he was screwed and tattooed by the Bush Republicans on the so-called energy crisis in California. I mean, this guy was worked over by a real professional crime family. He may be just dull as a newsprint. He may be a totally disinterested politician. I have no idea. But I do know this. These rat bastards who went after him, this Daryl Issa, this two-time car thief, who, by the way, has decided to get out of the race. Now he's not even going to run now that Schwarzenegger is in. You know, Schwarzenegger, be careful how you say that, Malloy. Schwarzenegger probably called Issa up and said, hasta la vista, baby.
Don't do that.
This is my election. But the whole thing, it's a train wreck. So as much as I don't know anything about Gray Davis, I hope they do pull out the stops. I hope this becomes just an absolute mud bath. Because if they pull this off, you see, the states, I think there are 16 or 17 states that have the same kind of referendum laws where the public initiative, I guess they call it, can overturn the democratic will of the people, such as it is. Oh, I know. Don't call me up and tell me I'm incredibly naive because there's no democratic will. It's all bought and paid for. I understand that. But at least it gives us the illusion of democracy when more than 50% elect someone to office. At least we have the illusion of representative government. The way the California thing is set up, if Gray Davis gets 49% of the vote, where it concerns, shall the governor of California be recalled? That's step one on the ballot. If he doesn't get 50% plus a vote, he's out of there. The second question on the ballot, who shall replace him? With all the people who are candidates for this Chinese fire drill, oops, that's racist, isn't it? Okay, for this certain, no, I can't say that. For this terrible situation in California, of all the candidates who are there, if somebody pulls in, say, 13% of the vote out of 25 candidates, and that is the majority or the plurality, 13%, everybody else has 12, 11, 10, 9, 9, 9, 8, 7, 4, 3, 9, 9, 2, 2, 1, 1. That candidate who gets 13% of the vote is the new governor. What the hell is that? That's Republican treachery. That's what it is.
And we're playing all your favorites, but right now I have a pair of free tickets to tonight's big concert for the third caller. Oh, let's go to the phone lines. They are heating up, and let's see. Hello.
Hello.
Is this Ms. Shannon Johnson?
Yes, yes it is.
Oh, you sound very excited.
I am.
Well, Ms. Johnson, I have good news.
I'm the third caller.
No, I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Wouldn't it be great if you could get everything you need for successful estate planning in one package? Well, now you can. The new Master Estate Kit offers a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free family legal guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore. He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
What does most political talk radio sound like?
Good morning and welcome to my show. I'm fine. Thanks for asking.
A little self-centered?
We're not going to take any calls right now because I want to talk. Remember, the show is at its best when it's more me and less of you.
Not very listener-friendly.
We're talking about all the progress we've made in Iraq. Tom and Seattle, you're on the air. Make it quick.
Yeah, I don't really agree with what you said about...
And I don't agree with you calling my show. Let's get it clear, people. If you don't agree with me, then you must be a communist.
A little one-sided?
The fact is that the Dixie Chicks should be sent to Iraq to live in a cave with Osama. Jeff in California, you're on the air. Make it quick.
I have a comment on how the U.S. has completely forgotten about Osama bin Laden.
No, you don't have a comment, Jeff. But what you do have is the privilege to listen to my show. And you're abusing it. And I am offended.
All around bad radio.
Says you.
But there is an alternative.
What?
You can get the best in progressive talk radio on the only progressive talk radio network there is, i.e. America Radio Network. For more information, go to iemericaradio.com.
You'll be back.
No, they won't.
Yes, they will.
Get out of here.
Don't touch me.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
From renewing my term, even dancing with a stripper, drunk and covered in sperm. To lose my job, I'd have to die and take an intern's life. And in either case, my seat would go to my wife.
Making the pie higher so that fish and humans can coexist peacefully. It's Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. I'm sorry, I just ran to the bathroom, hadn't come back yet. James is calling, old number 12, tooling around the streets of Santa Fe, New Mexico. Hey, James.
Yes, Mike, this is the first time in my life that I could actually say, honestly, that I wish I lived in California and was registered to vote there, because I would love to vote for Arnold.
And why?
Because I think he's a great guy. He represents everything I...
Well, your Uncle Charlie's a great guy, but does that mean he should be governor of California?
Sure.
Come on.
If my uncle was the governor of California...
You know what I'm saying?
What I'm saying is my governor was a self-made man, too. He was a real estate baron on the East Coast, and he came up from his father was a milkman and stuff like that. And Arnold was the same sort of thing. He came here basically as a weightlifter in 1968, and... with a self-made man. I don't really think he did it because of he got any handouts. He did it by his own gifts from God and his own determination.
I would say there was a third element besides God and his determination, and that would be steroid drugs.
Sure. Well, you know what? I'll give it to you. I understand what you're saying. I don't think steroid use is a good thing because it's really bad for your health.
Well, duh.
There's a lot of people out there who do a lot of bad things.
But should they be governor of California? Look, I'd like to stroll down the street smoking a joint. That would make it easier for me to do my job, but let me do that.
I think you should be able to do that.
Yeah, good for you. But if I do that, my ass goes to jail. So Arnold can push some of the most destructive drugs on the planet, steroids, and he's going to run for governor. Okay.
All I can say is this. To paraphrase Conan the Barbarian,
oh my God.
I know you want a soundbite, and that is, I hope Arnold goes to Sacramento and he crushes the enemy, see them driven before him, and hears the lamentation of the liberals.
Yeah, well, at the very least, he can lace the water with steroids, and they'll all go crazy and have to have heart bypasses, and a certain percentage of them won't make it off the operating table. How about that?
Okay, well, in the meantime, everybody could, get lots of physical work done in California, if that's the case.
Listen.
Because it'd be so strong.
James, you need to make a few more bucks tonight, all right? Thanks for checking in, pal.
Bye.
Bye. I have some weird, weird callers to this program. Nancy Skinner joins us tomorrow night in the second hour. Program produced tonight engineered in Detroit by Charlotte Jones, produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Our announcer is Robin Bittman. Also, we'll ask the question tomorrow night, which of the many W administration scandals have been the most suppressed and covered up? Thanks to Mark Marshall, our webmaster, MaximumInteractive.com. And as always, thanks for the tunes, Jim, in Arkansas. I'll see you tomorrow, I hope. Take care.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Another audio clip from the production meeting.
Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
Drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Doug. Yeah, yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. Jordan has condemned the bomb attack on its embassy in Baghdad, which has claimed at least 12 lives, as a